The Handsome Hopping Monkey and Alligators Considered present The Roll Monkeys!
Hi everybody, this is Mick Bradley. Welcome to the Harping Monkey and All Games Considered's presentation of the Roll Monkeys Spirit of the Century actual play sessions. This is session 3, so if this is for some reason the first one that you've run across, please go back and listen to 1 and 2 if you've got the time, because otherwise you won't understand where we're at, because we're starting right in the middle of adventure at the beginning of this recording. But in any case, thanks for joining us, and thank you for continuing to share with us your support and enthusiasm for this project. We are having a blast playing Spirit of the Century. Spirit of the Century is an incredible game, and I strongly recommend anybody that's interested in fun role-playing games to go to evilhat.com and check out what they've got to say about Spirit of the Century over there, and then head on over to Indie Press Revolution and purchase yourself a copy, because it is a very worthwhile game. I also want to say thanks to everyone who is participating in the discussions and feedback on the Harping Monkey forums regarding these play sessions. We have gotten a lot of great feedback, a lot of great comments, and there are some great discussion going on about, you know, ways that we could have handled this or that, and lots of interpretations of the rules and help and advice on getting the most out of the Pulp Adventure style and out of Satsi's rules in particular. And I completely encourage that and welcome that and am very thankful for it. So please, everybody, continue to do so. Like I said, we're having a blast listening to this stuff and reading it and then trying to apply what works for us into our sessions as we learn and grow. This is a new rule system for us, and it's also kind of a new style of playing. We are sort of a group that's in a place in between traditional role-playing and some of the more progressive role-playing styles, so that's where we're at. Of course, many of you probably already know that, but the point being, I really am thankful for the discussion that's going on, and so are the guys, and we talked a little bit about that last night. And yeah, obviously, you'll hear in the recording itself that we're talking about, in the end, we're going to do what's best for our group, and I know that no one has asked us to do otherwise. Even though it was something out of my personal comfort zone, I actually am going to go ahead, and you'll hear that I'm going to try one of the things that it was suggested that I do that's a very progressive role-playing style, which is a cutscene. So I am actually going to attempt to do a cutscene as suggested by a couple of the users who are involved in our discussion. So we'll see how that works, and I invite commentary on that. I also want you to know that this is the third session, and guess what, folks? It is not the last. That's right, the adventure still not finished, even at the end of this session. We are having a blast, and if you are continuing to enjoy it, then I'm glad that it's not over, because, you know, but we have, first of all, our sessions themselves are, like I said, only a couple, 2.5 hours long or so, and we also kind of like to pack a lot of stuff in. We have lots of discussions and lots of things, and so, you know, maybe we don't always pace things in that really quick, super fast Pulp Adventure style. That would be ideal, but actually it wouldn't be ideal for us, because it would skip over a lot of stuff that we enjoy doing. So hopefully you'll enjoy listening. We do. Oh, yes, there is one thing too. We get into our first actual physical combat situation in this session, and it does take up a pretty good chunk of the beginning of the session. The first half, at least, probably a little bit more than the first half of the session, is taken up with this fight. Because, of course, we're learning the rules and plodding through it a little bit more slowly than I hope we will in the future. So be aware of that, and again, comment on it and let us know what you think. All right, without too much further ado, I'm going to go ahead and be quiet now and let you listen in on session number 3 of our Spirit of the Century adventure. Thanks for listening, and I'll be back again next week.
Oh, I'm back. I'm feeling much better.
So, yes, we have Joey back. We'll figure that out here in a few minutes. First thing we're going to do is, I guess, I'm going to read this cutscene, which all of the players will hear, but none of the characters will know. We're going to try this and see how it goes, and we can comment on it later.
It's a damn European gaming style, isn't it?
Oh. Second thing we're going to do is do a semi-cutscene.
Okay.
Getting Joey
back into
action,
the so to speak.
Action leading up to, and then we will actually start from where the cliffhanger left off last week. So thinking of this as a show, this is going to be the before the credits thing.
I just like to comment real quick, even though I have no idea what exactly was said on the forums. I like to do this since I don't know what's going on. European gaming and American gaming, I completely don't object to what was mentioned on the forums by the two people that you
especially
mentioned.
Especially not having read them.
But no. From what you said, I completely understand.
Yes, okay.
But most American gamers like to metagame, whether or not they do it intentionally. And maybe in the European countries, there's just a given rule that you don't do that. But in America, it's
pretty
common.
It's an interesting question. And I know, it's like, again, another thing, too, is between people who are more inclined to think things hippie/forge story game style. I shouldn't lump those all in.
Hippie?
That's a self-described term that some people in the Forge community use for some of the really...
Some people.
Oh, come on.
Well, just look.
Every time anybody uses this terminology, somebody comes up and says, you're using the wrong terminology, and I don't want to misuse the terminology.
Well,
I'm just saying.
Just case in points towards the whole metagaming thing, though. Note that from my Fate chip stack, I have six of them separated off to the side.
If that ain't metagaming...
Yeah.
Okay.
For those of you who have been following that particular thread there and seen my posts in
I have one in my hand.
Maybe one way to put this is this. I really, really am enjoying the thread going on in the Harpy Monkey about this and it making me enthusiastic about the idea of continuing this kind of stuff with like this Roll Monkeys podcast that we're sort of talking about maybe doing. However,
it's happening.
Okay, it's happening. Okay. But in the end, as much as I like all of the discussion and stuff and I value it, in the end, the only people that I'm worried about pleasing are the people around this table.
Yeah, screw the rest of you guys.
No, that's not what I mean. That isn't what I mean. But I'm saying, in the end, the only people that we really have to answer to are each other.
You don't want to completely change the style just because...
Our social contract, our way of playing, the thing that's fun for us, and our personal journey as we grow through this or any other game we might play, which is, a touchy-feely thing to say, but I mean it, so there it is.
Uh-huh. I love you, Chris.
I love you too, man.
Okay, let's game.
Let's game. It's been that kind of week. Let's
go. All right, but in honor of our new friends on the forums, even though I'm a little bit in over my head with this, I am going to attempt a cutscene. This is not the cutscene that we should perhaps have done with the elevator thing. This is a new and different cutscene that is taking place as we are beginning our fight with the Arachnid Cabal down in the basement, or maybe slightly before it. The Arachnid Cabal.
Okay.
Remind me when we actually start fighting the Arachnid Cabal. I've got to give you a fate chip because you came up with the Arachnid Cabal.
Good job, Savory Pips associating with Krister.
I remember that mention, man.
The scene opens at outside the lodge. I'm sure there are several shacks, but one of the shacks outside the lodge may be where they keep the wood that they're going to bring in to power the boilers that keeps the heat going in the upper rooms, whatever. The wood shack. Okay. You see Seth Lord in a coat, but not a very heavy coat, because he has to look cool, and a couple of beefy bodyguards, and a guy sitting in a chair with his arms tied behind him and tied to the chair, and a sack over his head.
Where's the wood?
It's in piles all around them.
Okay, good.
Oh, boy. Because I need you to be messing with me right now when I'm nervous as hell about to do a cutscene.
Thank you
very much. Anyway.
Let him do his cutscene.
I am.
So,
he's describing.
Seth stands there and he folds his arms and leans against a pile of wood. One of the beefy guards, one of the beefy snake-faced guards, pulls the sack off. And Heinrich Monkey Wrench is sitting there tied to the chair. Heinrich Monkey Wrench, Stan Rocket's rival, a very, very, very nasty mercenary, saboteur, and destruction expert. And Seth kind of smiles at him and says, "Hello, Heinrich. How is your family?" "Well, last I saw them," Heinrich says. "Excellent. Well, Heinrich, you've made quite a bit of trouble for me the past few days. I am displeased. I apologize. My mission has nothing to do whatever with what it is you're doing here." "Really? May I ask what it does have to do with?" "I cannot divulge my employer to you any more than I would divulge you to some other interrogator were I working for you." "Ah, I respect that. But again, you've inconvenienced me greatly, Heinrich. Might I at least know your target? Although I think I may have a guess." "The Centurions." "Ah, the Centurions, of course. You've a contract to take out the Centurions." "Not all Centurions, just these four in particular. My employer has seen something that compels her to need them out of the way." "Her, Heinrich?" Heinrich doesn't say anything. He just stares. says Seth Lord. So, the elevator... Yes, Heinrich says. Well, I suppose I should regret inconveniencing you on that count. I was the one that saved them, you see. I was loath to openly display my powers, mind you, but at the time, I considered them useful to my plans. I have another attempt in the works as we speak. Really? Explain. The plaster idol you have hidden in the basement of the lodge, I've rigged it to explode. I have learned that the Centurions intend to investigate it. Well, right about this time, as it turns out. Huh, I see. I would apologize, but truly, I have discerned that this idol, for whatever reason, is some sort of ruse. So it seems I will not be destroying anything of value to you. Well, yes, that's true, actually. The idol is a decoy. It is meant to throw infiltrators off the trail of my true discovery. Its destruction is irrelevant, I suppose. However, it is still damn inconvenient. I can't imagine you intend to destroy the entire lodge, do you? Of course not. I am a man of precision. The idol and those within the vicinity will be destroyed only. Rubble in the basement, nothing more. Those in the lodge above will think it a rumbling of the boilers, if they notice it at all. However, it is intended to kill the Centurions, and it would be very likely to do so if I were in a position to set it off at the right time, but as you see, you have me here instead, so I do not know for sure when it is going to go, because I set a timer. Well, as I said, I had thought the Centurions might be of use to me. I was hoping to use them as guinea pigs tomorrow in my demonstration. Well, we seem to be at cross purposes after all. Regrettable. I suppose you will have to kill me. But I will still take them out, with any luck. Oh, Heinrich, from our many past associations, it is obvious that I would be a fool to do harm to so effective an agent of destruction. I may need you in the future. Besides, I am no fool. Of course I will do you no harm. No, 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 no. If you succeed in killing the Centurions with this bomb, I suppose that would be all right. If not, perhaps I can still use them, perhaps not. But I have several other plans in place that may work just as well, perhaps even better. No, no, no. I'm inclined to let you go, Heinrich. And you don't even have to tell me who you're working for or any more information about your current mission. There is just one thing. If, perhaps, before you leave, you could do one thing for me in preparation for my demonstration for tomorrow night, we can consider everything even. Very well, then. I suppose, as long as it does not prevent me from doing my other mission for my current employer, we have a deal. Very good, Heinrich. Very good. And that's the cutscene. Yikes. Never done anything like that before. Was that freaky? That was freaky. So anyway...
Not really.
Not really freaky? I thought it was kind of freaky.
I thought it was well done.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you, sir. But to me, that seems hammy. It seems like me trying to draw attention to myself. No, hamming it up.
Oh.
So anyway, the point being, we're moving on now, because I don't want to belabor that. But so that's what's going on. The scene shifts to halfway down the mountain, big gigantic snowstorm, and Captain Joey Shade awakens, laying in a pile of snow. He's got some, you know, his hair's mussed. he's got some, you know, carbon smudges and stuff on his hands and on his face and maybe on his pants, but not on his jacket.
Of course.
He gets up and, you know, he feels pretty good. You're a little sore, but for the most part, you're all right. You look around you, and there are some piles of burning Zeppelin laying around, but not enough to account for the entire ship. And also, you don't see any other people or any evidence of people like body parts or cast-off clothing or anything like that. Just you and and some rubble. And the snowstorm is getting really bad. And essentially, to take all of your absolute player power away from you, I'm
going
to... Yay! No, you... Please just decide to go up the mountain back to the lodge.
You look around, the only trail is up the mountain back to the lodge. The rest of the world is just these 10 by 10
It's the
squares.
Price you pay for not being able to be here last week. I got to get you back into the adventure. If you want to be back
real
in the adventure.
Though,
okay, go
I
ahead.
I want to investigate, and I'm yelling out, Smitty! Girl, where are you? Any sign of a trail or footprints?
Oh,
or
actually, that's a good... No.
Okay.
That's a great question.
No, your investigation reveals... It seems very likely. The likeliest conclusion that you can think of is that you and a portion of the Zeppelin fell in a completely different spot than the rest of it.
Okay.
and that the rest of the wreckage is nowhere to be seen. You can't see a, you know, there's no smoking thing off in the distance that you can see in any direction. That might be the odd part, because it makes sense that the rest of the Zeppelin might have fallen somewhere else, but you can't even see any smoke. Of course, the snow is falling so thick, maybe you wouldn't, I don't know, you know, so who's seeing? But anyway, the point is, your option is to get... Is to walk back up the mountain to the lodge before you freeze to death overnight.
Damn, I'll have to go back up to the lodge and contact my superior.
Okay. And I promise I will not force you to ever do anything ever again.
Well said.
Until next time. So you start...
Damn you, Clay.
So you start shuffling up the side of the mountain, hoping that
you're... No, I don't shuffle, sir.
Oh, you don't shuffle? Okay.
It's kind of rad to see you, though.
Doesn't matter. I'm Captain Joey Shea.
You work it, buddy. You go right ahead and work it. Saunter's
I don't
up the
saunter.
Side of the mountain.
Not when people aren't watching. I manly stomp up the side of the mountain.
Okay. And the music swells up, and we go to the opening credits, and everybody takes a bathroom break.
Spirit of the Century.
Spirit of the Century. Episode 3.
Starring Gladys Knight.
And the Pips. Oh my, okay.
Okay.
So, now, what I'm doing, for those of you who do not have visual reference,
which would be anyone listening,
yes,
is, what the hell?
Well, you guys, I don't have a miniature anywhere that looks anything like you people.
Oh god.
So I'm pulling out minis.
And here we go.
You know what I'm doing with the minis?
Well, you know, Joe just has a chip on his shoulder.
I'm pulling out minis only as
there we go.
Basic reference points so that you guys can visualize where you're standing. There's no hex grid down anybody. It's just miniatures so that people can visualize
Dear
where
Lord, man, this isn't the proper 2.5 generation setting. You're not supposed to be using miniatures.
Hey.
Wait a minute. Can I
run? Generation 3.14159, and this is fine with me.
Oh, okay. But how many inches can we run?
Huh?
How many inches on the board can we run?
As many as we need to.
As many as you need to. There you go.
Whoo,
boy.
Ooh, swashbuckle.
Oh, you didn't see...
That's Caitlin.
Caitlin in her outfit.
No, I didn't.
You will.
Oh, I will.
Oh, you will, Jerry. You will.
That's what he did.
Oh, wow.
If he plays his cards right.
Now, this represents the plaster idol.
I just want to comment. This is a wonderful use for a used candle.
Yeah,
I don't
cool.
know who thought of this. I guess it was Mike.
Was it Mike?
Why was that here? Because I thought you had that.
This I just pulled it off of your shelf.
Oh, okay. I guess Mike did
I
do that.
It cool. Very cool.
I'll have to remember that.
Let's again. This is very arbitrary. Here's this big idol, right? Okay.
I'm way off over here.
Yeah, you're not on it yet. We'll get you in a minute.
You're like over here
now. Yeah. Place yourselves whether you're inside the room or outside the room or whatever.
I'm outside the room. I was just looking in the at the.
I'm probably up now.
I was just looking at the.
I was probably in because I was looking it over trying to see if it had any reference to anything.
So we're all in the room. And she just, you know, she stands back and starts firing at it with her gun.
Mm-hmm. I'm half expecting it to
revealing the fact at? she's this is a big giant Easter Island looking stone idol that's about 6 or 7 feet tall.
Okay.
And she fires at it with a gun and.
Stone
and pokes and holes in it. And pokes holes in it, and it reveals it to be a stone. Hollow plaster thing. It's a thing. Hollow piece of worked plaster. So,
no, I'm not there. I shouldn't be asking questions.
So these are all the Arachnid Cabal dudes.
Oh wow! Wow, there's a lot of them.
And they're placed like this when you first see them. And remember last week, Max, when you said something about how sometimes episodes begin and the characters aren't doing the same thing that they were doing when the episode ended? Because I said when the episode ended that these guys were charging at you.
Well, that
but they're not. They're just standing here. So anyway, but you do, they make, you know, they shout out something and you hear several guns being cocked and, you know, chambers being loaded and all that kind of stuff. And then York, being the first, he looks around and he's like, oh, look. And you have a bunch of guys in the traditional Arachnid Cabal uniforms.
And since I'm in that book, this is the guess, I know what they
Yeah,
look
you
like.
Know what they look like.
You rescued me from the sinister coils of the Arachnid Cabal.
That's right. So,
I do really
let's not deal with the bureaucratic part of the arachnid cabal. Not apparently deal with the.
So now what we do...
Maybe not so good either.
Is, all right, so what happens from here? Because there's a bunch of these guys and they're standing there. You can see... Come on. In the shadows, at the back of the room, you can barely make out Prester, standing as he would behind a few of his minions.
Naturally.
But you also notice, and you know, Townsend might also know this guy... But definitely Nathan notices not only is Prester in the room, but there's a guy in a special arachnid cabal uniform. This big towering hunk of evil henchman lieutenant. And you look, and it's... He's not your rival, because Prester's your rival, but...
But he wants to be my rival.
Yes. The man who wants to be your new nemesis, the evil Vandermore.
Well, if he turns around and just shoots him, then he'll be the new rival, right?
Unfortunately, he's fiercely loyal to Archibald Prester.
Oh, I suppose.
Other than that, he's moving on up. He's moving up in the cabal, and taking down the Centurions would be a big, you know, a big boon for Vendemore.
Well, that would boost his credit impressively.
Yes, it would. So, now, I suppose technically, unless you're going to surrender to them, we need to do the initiative thing.
Just as a free action, because I find it amusing, when I see this, I just shout out, "Ah, Vandermore, I see you got promoted to Chief of Scum."
Click, click.
What's it?
It's character. Going to be a pleasure taking you down, Appleby. He says in an oddly heroic tone.
I think he was all around even henchman-like. What's that?
What's it, villain here? You are.
What's that? Stepping up here, seeing. No, I'd ask who's in charge, but it's obviously you, Preston, and you're still an idiot. if you'd like, I could point out your mistakes here, but I mean, was it?
Well, you know, just as a, I shouldn't be, I don't know if I should suggest things, but why not? This might be an opportunity to use, attention must be paid. To give everyone else a chance to position themselves while everybody's paying attention to the talent.
I want to know that there is a...
Excellent.
In my hand, for a fact, with right, attention must be paid.
Excellent.
As he walks up, a little bit. Was that, writing creators really are, an idiot. You have anyone checking, keeping that door, the elevator? We're in a room here. You're going to kill us, and it's not secure. Was it, the guards could come down here at any moment, blow this whole plan. What are you doing?
So, while he's completely successfully taking all of their attention with all of this stuff that he's saying, that gives you guys several seconds to position yourselves any way you feel is necessary.
And I hope something much more noble, I prepare for the crown.
You don't even have to be sneaky about it. You can position yourselves practically anywhere on this side of the room or out here, and they're still going to be looking at him going, that dude is impressive.
You've got to get a better rival, please. You're a good guy. You've got some talent. What are you working with him? He can't even keep a girlfriend. He's a nervous dude.
Oh, wow.
Yes. Okay.
Well, you've compelled a few fate chips from a couple of guys there. Am I supposed to give this to you? I don't remember. But anyway, I do want to point out, while you guys are positioning yourselves, to our listening audience who know the rules of Satsi, we have decided as a house rule that we are going to roll... is it alertness? we're not going to just do whoever's got the highest alertness and go from there. We're going to roll it every time. We're going to make an alertness roll.
Every
so that there's for the entire
just
combat.
Like D&D. Okay. Just roll it once and then.
Yeah. Mm, okay. Just so that various combats won't always, everybody won't always go in the same order. Mm-hmm. I know that
but
they have their
people
own.
People will tend to go sooner.
Exactly. Makes sense. But the faster people still would tend to go sooner. Okay. So, that's what we're going to do. We know it's not a rule in the book. We're doing it anyway. Okay.
All right. Let's see here.
So, you guys will all get to position yourselves before we roll.
Okay, I position myself.
Meanwhile, Joey is slogging up past the woodshed.
All right.
And sees a bunch of odd footprints going back and forth.
I don't know. I'm like, what? There's beavers rocking back and forth in front of the woodshed.
Human footprints, recent human footprints that have not been filled in by the intense amount of snow that's fallen. I gotta be honest.
I'm curious,
sir.
See, oh my god, the last thing I want him to do is explore what's in that woodshed. But I have to be honest. I have to be honest with him, and I have to let him do it if he wants to.
Maybe. Do you need to take a break from this blistering blizzard?
Oh my god, he's going in the woodshed. I guess he won't be helping you guys out.
Crack open the door slightly to the woodshed.
Yeah.
You see,
Dude. You see piles of wood, a chair, and some rope laying at the foot of the chair, and a couple of cigarette butts laying on the ground.
Well, either something very kinky took place, or...
Because kinky is a word they used in 1923.
Or there was something afoul.
Yes, well, we'll...
Well, in the meantime, I should
maybe some guys
okay. pause in the room, warm up, and then check back out.
He's going to warm up in there for a while. All right, so...
We don't know when this is taking place.
Yeah, yeah, I know. Let's do a little bit of fighting before he shows up.
Everyone knows once Joey Shade appears, the fight is already over.
Yeah, well,
that
well,
seems
well.
To be how it works.
Two. What's your alertness there, Stan?
it's going to come down to what their alertness is anyway.
And,
I got an alertness of two.
So on ties, the higher natural alertness would go first.
That makes sense to me. A very second generation.
Yeah, well, here's another thing that I'm going to admit right up front.
Uh-oh.
We're about to get into a fight, and yes, I read as much as I possibly could about the fight rules several times,
right.
But I don't know that I've absorbed enough to do this. So we're probably, I mean, there are maneuvers and blocks and defense and all this wacky stuff. I want to work on baby steps first, and then when you guys get your copy of the book, we can all get our heads together, and next time we play this thing, we'll know a little bit more about fights. But to be honest with you, I will not begin to remember, and I am not going to sit here and stop the fight and look something up in a book and then start the fight again and then stop. I'm not going to do it. So I'd rather just do it and see if we can make it fun with what we know.
So you're just going to wing it.
Somewhat wing it, although I have some cheat cards right here.
It's like half a wing.
Yeah.
I know all about the actual conflict and the taking stress and stuff. The stuff that I don't know very much about is maneuvers and blocking and all of this other mumbo jumbo. But all of the different actions that you could take within the fight, there are maneuvers and things you can do. And then there's like twists where if you beat someone badly enough, you actually get to do some sort of a spin on them you can not only attack them, but you get to like. Do something to set them up for the next person to attack them or something like that. Mm-hmm. But the details are in my head, but they're all jumbled. So, because that's...
Any other issues for Caitlin?
Oh, I'm sorry. Caitlin got a...
17.
No!
17?
Holy crap. Caitlin got...
A 9.
4.
4. I knew she'd be first.
Well, now, come on. And then... Now, I have these guys divided into two groups.
Okay.
We got Vandermore and three minions.
V and three.
And then, well, actually, it may be more than one group, because there's technically supposed to be a group for each person, for each of the four of us.
There should be four groups.
Okay, so I'm going to split this up a little bit then. These two guys are getting a stand. These two guys are going for Nathan. These two guys are going for Porter. And
they were like that the whole time, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Especially they aren't doing exactly what they were doing when the last episode ended. Yeah.
Okay. So wait, did I say okay? And then minion number one gets a 0. Minion number two gets a -3.
Wow.
This group of minions gets a negative one.
Is that group number three?
Yeah,
group
yeah.
Number we'll call
there's two of them, but they're yeah. Okay. Here's a plus one for four. The one attached to Prester himself. And Vandemore and his minion get, really, a two. Okay.
Vandemore
and his minion yeah. got a two.
What's their alertness compared to Townsend's?
Vandemore's alertness is three.
Whoa. He's very alert.
Mine's two, so he's running.
Okay. Oh. Oh, Nathan, underneath you, a fake chip that's been given to you because you're dealing with your own rival and some of his pals.
Excellent. They came here in gifts.
Okay, so...
Caitlin.
Of course.
Townsend steps forward and is berating Prester.
So here we go,
in
yeah.
the crowd. It's kind of like, you guys, please.
Everyone's sort of looking at you. Can you really say that to the boss? Is anybody killing him or something? I mean...
Well,
or
they might just not looking around going, draws wow, he's
right.
Coming!
You suck, Kate.
My golly gosh. And then... She swings over the minion's head and misses. Okay. Who's next?
Me. Step forward.
Nathan steps forward.
Whip out the Fang of Garak.
Oh, my.
And attack Vandemore with it.
Attacking Vandemore. He'll block her. He will respond to his athletics.
That would be one, three, four, five. Six. And I'm invoking British Dandy.
Ha! Okay, this is going to be interesting.
Because the way I come off is as a sort of effete British gentleman, people are always surprised when I move as well as I do in combat.
Oh.
And so people, I'm guessing it probably only worked for the initial conflict, but people always tend to underestimate me until they've seen me fight.
Right. Okay. So your total then is?
Three, seven.
Nice. Yeah. Okay. And he got a six, so you got him for one click, one box of stress.
My good men have been to the finest schools in Exeter.
I'm going to let you get that attack off. However...
I'll give you one chance, surrender now.
As you attack him, you feel this odd, strange pang of regret... Because there's a part of you that thinks this man should be my ally.
Really?
Or you could buy that off.
I'm dauntless. I am persevering.
Okay. So, Nathan spends a fate chip to avoid the compel.
Yes.
Which will be dogging him for quite some time now. For what it's worth, in fairness and honesty... Your player, I mean, you can know this, but he doesn't. Mm-hmm. You have a temporary aspect on you since last night called Kiss of the Spider Woman.
I see.
Which makes you, there's a venom inside you that's going to make you more and more wanting to be pals with the Arachnid Cabal. Until something is done about it. Or until it wears off at the end of the adventure.
Oh, great.
Yay.
Anyway.
Looks like I may not get to save those chips after all.
But you successfully have dealt with it. For now, yes.
Stan Rocket.
Okay, I'm assuming the ability to do damage with my gadget is a suitable improvement as far as... I mean, I don't have to do a bunch of different improvements for it to...
No, I'm fine with that. Go
okay,
ahead,
cool.
Yeah,
kind of like a taser or something. That's what I'm thinking, actually. it would probably be more stun gun because the like ranged aspect would probably be... But yeah.
Attacking it with a flashlight.
Just a switch on it. Flashlight. That would be under weapons, right?
Yeah.
That's three. Can I go ahead and do it? I need to have done the chip before I rolled, or
what chip?
If I want to invoke an aspect.
Oh yeah, you're invoking
two-fisted. That'll bring a plus two.
Oh,
the whole just general fighting.
Oh yeah, you didn't have to send it before the chip. You can add it on after.
Which would make it a five.
A total of five, eh?
Yeah.
Minions, especially minions that are not attached to any other people, just have this particular minion just has one box. He's an average minion. So you use one box of stress. They don't take consequences. They don't go through the whole thing. They just
can he take back that?
No,
that
no, because I.
Well, now that we know.
A few other things that I probably should point out is I should have more minions here, but anyway,
groups of small
groups of two minions are going to get a +1 to all of their actions. Oh, I forgot to give him this +1 when you stabbed him. But anyway, we're going to let that stand. Groups of and then ones that have a full fledged character. No, that's not true. Actually, maybe it is, but I forget. But anyway, the point being that these minions get a +1 when they're in groups, and you can spill over. Like, if you had a couple minions in this group and you had shifted 3 above his defense, your other 2 would have spilled over to the next guy and the next guy.
Kind of like virtual defense.
Yeah. Sweet. Exactly.
All right. It has marked, so that's cool.
It's the shock
you boosted it a bit too much, and it arcs to the next guy.
I might have to work on that.
There was something else. Or maybe I forget what it was.
I was going to be compelled to do the thing too, since I drank that.
No.
Okay.
No.
It was. I figured out what it was. It's the lipstick.
Well, yeah, but I also drank some of these.
Yes, you did, but you only got enough of it for it to be there for a few minutes.
Okay.
And so. He was kissing this woman.
Yeah.
Well, technically she was kissing.
Okay.
Yeah. That's what you want to call it.
Anyway.
It was an attack is what it was.
Less kissing, more killing. Come on.
Poor guy. That's just active.
Vandermore.
Vandermore.
And I guess his goon is on his action.
Right. So they are both... Well, Vandermore first. Will be attacking you with his big stick.
What do I roll for defense?
If it's a physical, like you're alert, your athletics, or unless you have some sort of a stunt or some other thing, I think it's in your athletics. What is this?
Ow.
Really? Okay. Five.
0.
Ouch. Ouch.
Did you say we'd be that? Okay, so
I'm just wondering if it would be possible to invoke British Dandy on the defense. So, well, I cross out my 5 box.
Cross out your 5 box.
Ow.
Wow. Okay. Do you want to concede? Okay. And then the minion. Make a separate defense against the minion.
Okay.
I think you should anyway.
I don't have a high athletics. One.
Yeah, you're okay with the minion. And then.
That's one. Loud.
Yeah, right in front of the mic too, huh? Okay. Reinforced beds.
More minions.
Just one.
Until I get more minis.
Reinforced bed.
Okay, who's next after...
He was down in the elevator.
Me.
Thompson!
Well, apparently was it since someone decided to come charging after me, probably tired of hearing me talk. Then, everyone's a critic, what can I say?
You're the only one that engaged.
Right. Well, I was going to be engaged. But...
Shut that guy up!
Yeah. Was it, do?
It should be an aspect. Was it, everyone's a critic.
Somebody could make that aspect, yes.
Was it, I'm going to, was it, was it... No, if you're approaching them, attempt to disarm him.
Okay.
With his gun. I don't have a gun, and that would be.
Well, that's probably. I know there's a maneuver in there somewhere. My gut instinct just tells you use your.
Fist?
Yeah, you're going to use your fists.
Right, right.
Do you have any stunts or anything like martial arts or special stuff like that?
No. Just. Listen.
Okay, so
well, I figure he's going to do it. So the guy, he's probably going to get like this.
Yeah, he's a minion. You're going to grab his gun, punch him in the face, and take his gun away.
Right.
Just do a regular attack, and if you succeed on the attack and get one shift, you can pull his gun out of his hand.
Right.
Except you might not have done it.
What was it?
What's your total?
My total is 3.
Okay, he's got... what's the? Oh, he doesn't have a +1 because he's all by himself.
Right, yeah.
So he has a 4.
Hmm.
I will pull. Mm-hmm. Conservation. You see, he's always up in front of people. He's learned to fight just up on someone. So that's what he's used to doing. Given he's the interrogator, he's, you know. It's how I just.
I understand what you're saying. Yeah. I'm going to let that go. That's
right.
Fine.
And that would make it?
A +2. Yeah. So you did what you wanted to do.
All right.
basically punch him in the face and then pull the gun out of his hand.
I agree. One hand grabs the trumpet rifle and his head comes with just like one big huge ugly.
But because of the way that worked out, I'm going to say, again, maybe this is arbitrary, but he doesn't take any actual clicks of damage. Not click, but I mean... there's a hero click on the table. He doesn't take a box of damage, but you get the gun out of his hand by successfully punching him in the face. All right? If you had beaten him and then used conservation of motion, you'd probably be able to do both, but... that's just my rule. Does that make sense to you guys?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I think that works.
Okay. Who's next? That's Townsend.
Prester and his goon.
Prester and his goon. Okay. Prester says something in some weird language. You've heard him say it before. He calls it Arachnian.
It's probably Esperanto.
Like,
sounds like pig Latin to you.
That's great.
Umre Arts Day. And all of a sudden, it is really, really dark everywhere. This inky, shadowy mist completely shrouds the whole room.
You know, I hated darkness spells in D&D. Why the hell you gotta keep them in this? I was constantly doing that in the old Byzantine game.
Yeah.
And that is a sick spell.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Especially when it's being wielded by these, like, 5-hit Diogres that are just...
So it's a little bit harder to see now.
Click.
I'm guessing the Arachnia people are completely used to this.
Precisamente, senor.
If you're other Arachnia people, they can see in the dark, just like Arachnia people should.
That's right. Okay.
Eat their own back.
Who's after Prester and his goon?
All the other goons.
All the other goons.
Number one, number three, and number two.
Which all one right. was what? Which one was
first
what?
Of all,
Well, I think one was after Stanza. One is gone because.
Well, he's already taken that one off.
All right.
Yeah.
So is Prester you're now directing me. This group?
That's two. Stan,
yeah.
You're being attacked with sticks and whack, blunt bang, weapons.
Whack. All right.
So,
dodge.
Unless you not, are you using your flashlight?
Stan. Yes.
Okay. So you can see this coming. The way this is working though is because there's this particularly mystical inky quality to this darkness. Mm-hmm. He has about a 3 or 4 foot cone of light coming out of this thing, so he can see something coming right up at his face. But none of you guys are going to get the benefit of his light, but,
right?
We can
because
the
it's
light
like
we look that
black
way,
fog.
Yeah,
yeah.
You can see some kind of a dim glow maybe going
over
on over here,
direction.
But it would not benefit any of you to see your opponents. But you can see these two guys coming at you, so you're not at a disadvantage if they come right into your face.
Okay.
So the one guy screwed. Are you gonna like do an athletics roll to dodge their attack or to get out of the way or defend?
Let's see.
I apologize to everybody for the pacing.
Yeah,
it's our first fight.
Yeah.
Considering that once again that's a skill that I have put in mediocre land, would it be possible to kind of wait to use weapons and wave my taser, wave my stun gun in front of me, like that, so that with the possible
as a defense.
If they
sort of like
jump,
a parry.
In, if they jump in at me,
sure, yeah,
cool. Which is a whole difference of one, but
yeah,
a whole difference
better.
Of one.
Yeah.
Two.
Well, wait a minute. No, what do you have?
Weapons.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Well, the one guy's like, ah! And then the other guy grabs you, and I know there's also some sort of a grapple. He's okay. That's why he needs to use his might. That's right.
Might.
He's a skilled minion. I don't know. Maybe he's not supposed to. Yeah. Okay, so he goes and he goes, and he tosses you backwards.
Ouch!
You don't You don't take any damage. He just tossed. He grabbed you and tossed you, but you're a hero, so it's not like you're going to take a click of damage from hitting the floor. But you land in the room, laying next to some of the... to the foot of the idol. And oh, by the way...
funny that
should happen. But you happen to notice, in the darkness and the odd, eerie silence, that there's a steady ticking coming from the one of the holes that Caitlin shot into the. They're coming from inside. You know, you can hear through the hole.
Is that bug taking place in back in here too?
Yes, but go ahead.
Yes, but
I figure there are other holes I can shine the light.
You look inside. You can see like. Actually, no. They were, I was like, oh my god, all day long. I've been like, you see this red LED light ticking down, and I'm like, just now, after all day long saying, yeah, you see an LED clock ticking down. Wait, it's 19-friggin-22. You don't see an LED light. What am I thinking? No, it's a clock. It's an old analog, but it's still ticking. The point being that you see this big old pile of dynamite attached to a clock in the middle underneath this
Hell yeah. You're gonna wake up.
Briefly.
Okay. Oh, 3 minutes.
3 minutes. Okay.
It could be 3 minutes or it could be 3 hours.
Or 3 seconds.
Or because it's an analog clock, it could be 2.5 minutes off. I don't know. It's only been time down the explosives. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, I would think that Heinrich Mundy would have some well-crafted
of precision.
That Swiss precision on that damn bomb.
Oh, let's see here. Anyway, I guess
and oh, I'm sorry. And next to the bomb, laying on the floor next to the bomb, is a little tiny 3-inch-long monkey wrench, which is the signature that he practically always leaves behind whenever he sets some kind of destruction. So, you've got a fate chip for Heinrich Monkey Wrench. So, that's what's going on in there. All
right.
Okay, who comes after... That was those guys. These guys... Did these guys attack you?
No, they have not.
No. He's attacked, but these guys haven't. Okay. Okay, so they're both going to come at you with their blunt weapons. And that's a negative... That's a zero...
Two.
And a two.
We'll see on the second defense. And I get a two.
A two versus a two.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing happens, I guess. I don't know if a tie is supposed to go to the defender or not.
You block them with your gun, I guess.
You have to reach it to succeed and beat it to get a shift.
Yeah.
I think. Is that what we talked about?
I think so.
Yeah. So basically, that is the target. He set the target number.
He hits you, but without a shift.
Right.
So you don't take a click, I'm assuming. So, yeah, fine. He hit you, but no damage. It's a scratch. Because there were no shifts generated.
Blocked it with a wood cruiser. He has got.
There you go. Okay.
Thank you.
So, everybody, okay, back to the top.
Caitlin.
All right. She,
Stan?
She's slipping around on the table. Woohoo! Yeah, she's useless.
She's everywhere.
Oh, my God, yeah. Wah! So, the first guy defended her extremely well, and, yeah, she can't see anybody, that's why. At least you assume she's fighting. Moving on.
Okay, I have two rules questions real quick.
Oh, boy.
Actually, one rules question and one in-game question.
Okay.
The rules question is...
I don't know. Go ahead.
Since I'm fighting with a sword, fencing, can I use weapons as a defense like he was doing with his taser? Since I'm basically blocking with the sword.
You know, actually, yes. I believe that you are allowed to use weapons as a defense if you're using your weapon. It's a parry. You know, it's like you're saying you're parrying with a weapon. Yes.
Cool.
I mean, I don't know for sure that that's the way it reads in the book, but it certainly makes sense to me.
Second question. I have a huge score in mysteries, and
I
also have mystic contacts, which I may be invoking in a second here. What Frister just did... Do I know, can I think of anything I can do that might possibly counter that?
Yeah. You want to know something? This is where I let you take control of the narrative by making a declaration.
Yay.
I hadn't thought of this, but you give me a fate chip, and you are already aware that the Fang of Gurok will counter this spell if you say the right words, which, of course, you know how to say because you've done it before. So, Nathan spends a fate chip to make a declaration, and your declaration is... that I just handed to him on a platter. But no, you say it in your own words and describe the effect in your own way.
Yeah, basically, we want to hear this.
I'm going to step a little bit away from Vandermore, where I assume he is. You hear Nathan say, now, how did Ubonga say that went? And then he says something in this deep guttural tone of voice. It almost sounds like an ape or something.
Sort of like Klingon.
Get down,
Kobold take my baby.
And... anyone who can see this, which is basically going to be Townsend and Caitlin, see a glowing sword through the mist, and then the mist starts to pull back away from the sword.
Yep. It does indeed.
I'm glad that you said that instead of Sword of Ormonds, give me sight beyond sight.
Then we'd have to
kill
Robin
Brandon. By the power of Grayskull. All of these guys are wearing full face masks, very similar to like what Spider-Man wears. Mm-hmm. I mean, in terms of being so you can't see their faces. I mean, there's not even any eye holes. So you would, but for dramatic effect, you can see, especially the two guys right next to him, Vandermore and the other guy. They're like. So their eyes get real big, even though you can't see them.
We could say that they pull back.
You can see their masks stretching in a way that would indicate that their eyes are growing very large.
I basically leveled the sword between me and Vandermore, and it has African totemic symbols on it, and those are sort of glowing with an eerie blue light.
Oh, he's doing a Harry Dresden on us now. All right, let's do that. Okay, that's cool. So gradually over the next turn, it'll take a while to get over here, the shadow is being pushed away by the light generated by the Fang of Gurok.
Stan.
Okay, bomb is inside this thing, or is it where I can reach it as it is?
No, you cannot reach it through. You'll have to, like, punch some. So you punch a few more holes in the plaster without too much trouble, and now you can, like, crawl in if you need it to.
I am, yeah.
All right, so Stan is crawling into the bottom of the idol to get to the bomb.
Like we got a bomb in here, guys.
Oh. What? who's after? So, I assume you're going to be taking up your next few turns defusing the bomb.
Yes, and figuring out what aspects I can use on this.
Someone stuck the bomb. And someone yelled, "What you say?"
I need a somewhat more permanent solution than clutching the solution to this one.
Vandermore and his goon.
Oh, Vandermore and his goon.
Face my glowing steel.
Well, it's very impressive. Makes it all the more fun to destroy you now. But not today.
As we see the four minus signs.
Vandermore rolls four minuses and takes a swing at you that hits his minion upside the head. It's like comes all the way around and his minion has to duck to get out of the way of it and his minion cannot make an attack.
Just because I think it's amusing, I'm going to invoke Dapper. I just stand there looking at him.
You don't move! You don't move! You just like...
I just sort of give him this look like, what?
Especially after he says, it's going to be so much fun to destroy you now. Oh, man. Okay. That's those two guys. Who's next?
Townsend. All right. I'm afraid I'm stealing some of your attention over here.
That's fine. I did what I had to do.
Oh, boss.
Was it, I'm going to... What's that? Do something really quick. What's that? Now that I have...
Bring him in.
What's that? I think I'm going to...
Bring him in.
Fell to my death. He fell off of a bookcase.
Was that...
off of a cliff. I thought
we've
I was
done,
going
we've done
right
what?
Way.
Like two? This is the third round?
Yeah.
So bring him in.
But where is he? He should be, like, upstairs.
No. Because you come in through the entryway...
So there's like an area.
Like
right
there's
here.
Like a little one of those doors that actually goes down to the basement. Like one side of the basement is not underground.
And that's the closest way in.
It leads a path to the woodshed so that they can bring wood in to feed the boilers.
And besides, this is pulp. There's action here.
Exactly.
So actually, is
so you
this
can
boiler
show up over
room?
Here.
Where's the boiler room?
Over here.
Okay. All right.
So you show up over there.
All right.
And you see you walk in on this scene.
And roll your
he hears me.
Although you walk into a room that's pretty darn dark.
But yeah,
except that you can see this weird spreading light coming.
And he hears a gun and I use the
gun. Oh, you're going to use the goon's gun. Use the gun's goon. Use the goon's gun.
My alertness is zero.
Oh, my.
Total zero?
Yeah.
I'm just going to put you ahead of the goons.
Okay.
Man, you would have had to roll that crappy in order to...
What's it?
What's your total?
The total is a negative one.
Oh, my. And what... Which one of those two guys? It doesn't matter. Whichever one you were shooting at. Yeah. You missed.
Alright.
Pew. Okay. After Townsend, Prester.
After Townsend, yes, Prester.
After Prester. Prester disappears. Not literally disappears, but as you know, the mist
where he was clears and he's not
there. And he's not
anymore.
There, precisely.
I say, Archibald, that's rather repetitive of you.
And by the way, me taking that mini away doesn't mean that he's actually...
We just don't know where he is.
Exactly.
He's not where he was.
Right.
And I make some snarky comment because he's done this to me so many times.
Yes.
And I'm probably also making...
See, he actually has an aspect.
Was it? It's like your fearless leader has fled. I mean, why are you following him? Was it? He's abandoned. He believes it's lost. It's dead. Yeah. His little mystery doesn't work, and all of a sudden you gotta go.
Well, maybe you can make a social attack next turn. And...
Oh.
All right. Who's that? These two guys? Or these?
Joey and then the Grinch.
Joey.
Now what?
Joey, it's your turn, man.
There's gunshots and people shouting.
But it's still dark. I'm like, what the hell is going on?
But you can see shadowy figures, and by the
it's
time your turn comes around, you can tell that there's a bunch of guys
in
these weird
that I'm probably
golden black
first
costumes.
Is Caitlin being attacked. Good God, woman, I'll save you.
You may not necessarily know it's her because she's all costumed
up. Okay, but still, it's an attractive young
sure,
lass.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Ha ha! I jump on this fool.
You jump on it. Okay, so you're tackling. You can use your fists. You see there. There are stunts that you can take that are like martial arts and brawling and stuff like that, but otherwise
basically,
you use fists for
my
anything.
My ain't no chicken is like brawler.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Oh, okay. So there's an aspect there. Yeah. You can invoke, you can re-roll or get a plus two.
Yeah, I'll just do that.
Well, he's not,
I ain't no chicken.
He doesn't get a defense at all because he doesn't know you're coming. Except that even though you said, I'll save you or whatever it was, but.
Snidely whiplash, I'm having a pause. And, it cancels out, but still. I'm saying that would probably be athletics more than fist. So,
oh, yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah,
it would be
athletics.
That would be a four.
Plus two. Okay.
Just tackle him to the ground.
You tackle him to the ground.
All right.
As a matter of fact, with four shifts, you can do something else like punch him or break his neck or...
Captain Joey Shea doesn't operate like that.
Okay.
I don't kill.
Well, good. What are you going to do?
Sport. I just... Smack his head into the ground until he passes out.
Well, he did very quickly.
Make a roll.
Because in pulp, that always knocks somebody out with very limited damage.
Is that fists?
Yeah.
Well, then that would be...
No, athletics.
Oh. Okay. Well, then that would be a one.
Okay, you knock him out.
Crack.
Clunk. All right, after Joey?
All the goons that are fit to print.
Yeah, which means not these guys, but all these others, huh? Okay. York, you're going to be swatted at. Plus four.
Oh, he's going to hit.
He's going to hit you. Oh.
Four is going to hit you, yeah, because it's
What's your total?
Was it one.
Okay, so you got to take your third box.
All
right. The other guy gets a zero. Two.
And I have a three.
Okay, you're fine.
I'm OE.
The other group of guys with Caitlin.
I'm not Jewish.
It's negative. Yeah, this negative one, one, two, zero. Well, I should roll four. She's okay. Whoa, wait a minute.
Now, who is that on?
On Caitlin. Oh. Some stuff is going on over there.
They pick her up and beat you to death with her.
Ah. But you died happy.
But she's going to... she's going to invoke Joey's aspect.
She likes you. She's invoking your aspect.
Yes.
She could do it. I ain't no chicken... Or
I don't even know if she's... But maybe a temporary aspect that she's taken on by being impressed with your tackle.
Oh, okay.
She's like, hey, I've got... guy come to help me. So anyway...
Of course, Captain Joey Shades. Fear not, ladies.
Oh, boy.
As played by Henry Winkler.
Hey!
And then... Okay, so that's those guys...
The goons?
Yeah.
I determined that I was playing Joey way too British.
No,
he's American.
There's a bit of Britishness going around this.
I know. I mean, true, he's mentally British, but.
Whoa. All right. Nathan! Starts swatting right in his face.
Vandermore!
Okay.
Attacking Vandermore.
Oh, you poor. He is pathetic!
Poor.
Wow.
I should have given him a different name. I am so
Vanderless.
Sorry. Vanderless! because he's not fighting well at all. What did you do?
I got a 4.
Okay.
I'm tripping around this way.
You got a 4, and he's just tink, 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 tink.
Maybe the glow is throwing him off.
Tink.
That is kind of nervous.
Oh, wow.
Vandermoor is taken out.
Wait, that's not the weird Vandermoor.
It's only a model.
Some poor simile.
And Vandermoor's goon is like, ah! No, he can't run yet.
He can't run yet. It's my turn.
My boss attacks me, then he falls.
Who goes ahead? Okay, Townsend.
Well, again,
Stan.
Yeah. Sorry.
Okay, so how do I go about... Would it be engineering or science or...
Engineering. Probably, engineering. You could probably say that it's modified by science. There are ways that you can, in the rules, where that you can amplify a skill, yeah. You get like a +2, if another skill would sensibly be able to help you do...
Yeah, well, this is going to be probably mostly engineering. I'm going to make sure, because through my rivalry with the man, I probably know the way he...
Yes,
you
would definitely, yes,
that
absolutely.
He
absolutely.
Does things, and we'll see if I need which way I need to modify this when it comes in. I think I'll just make
wow.
that a like +2, so that'll be a total of 10.
Well, okay. That being the case, I was going to roll for him and then add his knowledge of you and stuff. But, well, yeah. You've defused the bomb.
Obviously, this is a stereotypical
Sorry,
monkey
no
wrench
drama product. Here. That was easy.
Once you figured it out. Oh, it's a monkey wrench item.
Yeah,
there's
you
stuff.
Take a little monkey wrench off the ground and use that, too.
Yeah. Well, that's, he does it.
Well, it's well, because...
With that kind of a role, there's no way that I could weasel out of that and go, yeah, but he's your rival.
Yeah.
No, you
monkey
you,
wrench
you
is
got
so
it.
Precise.
Well,
and
he
might have also using the... He's my rival, I know, blah, 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 blah.
Right, but he knows that he's your rival, too.
Yeah, and
so
he
would set it up so that you couldn't defuse it. Then there would be this little game between the two of
them. But he would know I would do that, so I'll do this.
Exactly. Which is what I was hoping would happen over like the course of the next couple of rounds. But with that roll, that's like, you've got so many shifts on that you could probably, like...
You take it apart and put it back together.
A couple of times. And just practice while everybody else is fighting.
I confused the ball he's got in his hands.
Actually.
Oh, and then, that was Stan's turn?
Yes.
Okay, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Vandermoor? Well, Vandermoor's down.
Yeah. Vandermoor's down.
It's his goon.
Whatever his goon wants. Vandermoor's goon is still up. Oh, damn.
Next...
Townsend. Who's going to again try to keep...
That's nice.
2.
Missed.
Don't.
Oh, you only shot the one guy. Okay.
Yeah, I can only shoot one guy.
That's true.
You go down here and then you can shoot.
Yeah.
All right, sorry, never mind. Anyway, and then... Okay, and then after that, Stan, you hear a snooty British voice from outside the idols. Kicking pieces of plaster around, swearing to high heaven in a very ungentlemanly kind of way, saying, and then.
Are you sure it would be a snooty British, more like
it's
a Cockney, wouldn't
it's
it?
A, no, it's
really?
A bloody. It's a bloody piece of plaster. It's a bloody piece of plaster.
He's an idiot.
This is. Oh, I've not been this mad in many a year. Curse you, Seth Lord, you...
You think you get used to it after a while?
Does it start
you can stop so much, you get used to it.
When it gets back to my turn...
Well,
we'll see.
Okay.
Get around to my turn first, if he does anything else.
Well, as I said, that was him. He was talking, yeah. And then he was going to, like... Then you'd hear, like, a poof.
Oh, well.
Joey, excuse me.
All right. Joey's getting back up, dusting himself off, noticing Miss is taking care of that hooligan. I just look at her and smile and go, well then, shall we? And I'm invoking Cock of the Walk to invoke her to help me punch this goon out.
Okay. All right. So
basically, I'm looking at her going, shall we?
She turns at you, and the two of you pop this guy.
Oh, yeah, I rolled a 5.
And,
4.
Where'd you go? Oh, well. Okay, it works.
Okay.
Mostly you, but...
Okay.
All the goons that are left.
All right.
My goon.
Mr. York, could you use a spot of assistance?
Why, thank you.
I'll tell you, my instinct let's keep fighting. My instinct is to say, okay. But for the sake of learning...
Unfortunately, these guns are trained by...
my story instincts say, move on, after all. But my learn the game instincts say, let's fight a little more. All right, so... Yeah,
that way we can do more pulpy stuff.
Guns are not going to... Yeah. Yeah, that was very good, by the way. They... Wait. Well, that might do something. Make a defense roll from a...
One.
He hit you again for... Two more. So now your two bots
is filled in.
Yeah. Who's next?
Caitlin. Unless you used her action.
Oh. There's a dip, but he spent the fate point for. Yeah, I'm gonna just let him say. Okay. So what you see then is she smiles at you and blows you a kiss, and then there's a bright flash of light and she's not there anymore.
Caitlin vanish.
Well, actually, you know what? Let me revise that a little. She blows you the kiss and smiles at you, and then she's like starts to turn around, assuming that the two of you were going to go take out these other guys now. Mm-hmm. And then you see her like look beyond these guys, and she gets this look on her face like, oh, and then she disappears, literally right before your eyes.
Well, it's different.
Well, you know what? No, crap. I'm sorry.
He turns back and she's not there.
Yes.
You turn towards the.
Thank you, Max. Like Max, you've got such good instincts for this.
And then you turn back.
You
and give
don't.
Her a look,
yeah, I don't. Yeah, it's true. I don't want you to see her disappear before you, because I don't think she does that. But but when she goes, she looks, and you look where she's looking, and when you look back to her, she's not there.
Oh.
So it's a Batman thing. It's not. I just disappeared.
I have the wood ring in my pocket.
Yeah, exactly.
Is that the wood ring you just happened to see?
Oh my. Okay. Anyone? Yeah, who comes next? Nathan?
I see. You could use a spot of assistance.
Oh, sure.
Three.
You did not get that guy.
Certainly, so could I.
Okay, who's after?
Stan.
Stan?
Oh, Stan, yes.
Do you still have that flashlight
on?
Yes, I do. Okay. You see a rather large spider scuttling across around behind the bomb.
Behind the bomb or behind the idol?
Inside the idol. Something, so a big, bigger than a tarantula, about as big as a... So you tase it.
Okay, let me see.
Whoa!
As mine, I got a zero, and do I need to spend a fate chip to do something? Do I need to find some justification to use a fate chip, or have I hit it? Anyway... That gives me a zero. Actually, that gives me a. With weapons, that gives me a minus one.
A minus one. Well.
But seeing that roll over there.
Yeah. Because.
I just have this image of you in the idol going.
I can see like the spiders with an eyes looking at him. He's looking at him, and he goes.
You actually roll better than he did. So okay. You got a shift on him. So what happens is you tase this big spider, and you hear this. Yeah! And it scuttles off through another hole in a different direction.
That should have killed.
Where the hell did that spider come from? Why didn't it explode?
it was smoking as it scuttled away. All right.
Vandermore's goon.
He's in a different group now, so he's down with. There's only one group of bad guys left.
What about?
And they go last.
That's Vandermore's goon right there. Yeah, he was.
I didn't
coming in.
I didn't know if he was doing anything. So
yeah, he's coming back up. All three of these guys will be. Guy. All three of these guys will be like last.
Okay. Townsend.
All right. Realize shooting. Use it more like a club. See if that does a little bit better. And two.
No. You missed. Swing over his head. After Townsend, Prester's not in the picture. Joey.
Well, since I'm turning around and heading towards them, I don't realize that the lady has vanished.
Okay.
So I'm attacking this guy.
All right, go ahead.
Hi there, guys. You miss me?
Yes, we did.
That would be a four.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. He's gonna have to... No. That's, you take him out and him out.
Leap over there and crash into both of them.
Yeah. Basically, you took this guy out and then had two shifts to go to take that guy out.
Okay.
Actually, you know what? Since I made all these guys, you have another shift. After all this, I'm sorry. This is just dice rolling, guys. Yeah. I'm sorry. But Joey Shade walks up to you, who have been fighting these three guys for several rounds now.
Yes.
He walks up to him and with one punch takes three of them out. Somehow, with one punch, they all go down.
But of course,
that's
true. You may have seen me in such exploits as Captain Joey Shade versus the Metal Man.
Coming soon to a theater near you.
That's going to make a great story.
Jolly good timing there, Shade.
Well, I wasn't even planning on being here, but there's a small problem with the Zeppelin. As in, it exploded.
Using something like this? As I'm coming out of here with the bomb by now, hopefully?
I have no idea, but I hope that thing's not active.
I took care of it. And guess whose fault this was? Holding the little monkey wrench in the other hand.
Of course. Your nefarious rival, Heinrich Monkey Wrench.
Yes, indeed. By the way, you might want to turn around.
What?
Can we get a freaking damn PC?
Yes, we're giving the combat rules a good breaking.
No, don't you
dropping
worry.
The wrench, getting the flashlight back
out. Suddenly, behind Joey's shoulder, you see... Oh, there's another one. Sure, why not? Behind Joey's shoulder, you see a
Serpentor.
Whole bunch of big beefy guards who are now dressed in yellow and green uniforms with a big... Egyptian snake with the things on the side. Cobra!
Cobra.
Okay.
Like I said, Serpentor.
With a big cobra on the breast of the green and yellow uniforms. They all have guns. And then in this, you got to see it to believe it. I'm going to have to put a picture on the forums. Yes, indeed, in this very costume, no longer in his tuxedo, Seth Lord walks into the room with this cheesy supervillain costume with his big giant cape and a hood that looks like a cobra.
Cobra hair.
And
like free one of these just for the ridiculousness of his costume. Come on.
He comes in and he's surrounded by his guards. And he makes his entrance.
I think I'm rather stunned by the absurdity of it all.
Just to set it off even better, I should point out I'm actually wearing a tuxedo with tails, a top hat, and an opera cape.
And I finally noticed that you have a large glowing knife that I didn't quite notice before in your other book.
Am I thinking? See, I was right. They should have guarded the freaking door.
Didn't quite understand
so,
why you got it. That was just some type of archaeological doohickey.
Exactly.
Okay.
So here he is in all his glory. Throw in aspects left and right. He's a cock of the walk too, you know. So
you're copying my personal aspect.
You might be inclined to think that he looks cheesy, but somehow he actually looks damn cool.
He makes it work.
But since I'm also
unless you don't want to think he looks cool, in which case you
I think he
talking.
Looks damn cheesy because I'm also a cock of the walk.
Okay, cool.
That would only make sense.
I hate this guy. But he's no, he's easy.
Who's your tailor?
Who's your tailor?
If it gets me chips, then hey, who's your
I'm
tailor?
Sorry, is there a costume party tonight?
Really?
Sure.
Okay, Stan's very impressed.
I'm thinking like him. Well, I didn't know this was going to be a costume party down here.
Everyone's paying attention to Seth Lord. So, what's it going to be, Townsend? How do you feel about this? He's stealing all your attention away.
Oh,
Is it in a good way?
What was that? No idea.
You want to be impressed by Seth Lord?
No, I want to say I didn't know this was a costume party down here. I know the spider people and him in a tuxedo, and I'm thinking, this is the costume party down here.
I wonder what material that is.
Oh, God. Nathan, what about you, bud?
I'm really not sure.
Oh, it's cute.
It's simple. Get a chip. Be very impressed.
I'm not sure if Nathan would be impressed or not.
Give a chip?
I'm sorry.
Would you be shocked?
I'm far too dapper to be impressed by this.
But he is. It's dapper. It's weird.
In a cobra kind of way.
I'm sure at the Herpetology Festival he would cut quite the smashing figure, but...
All right, so there's that.
Like
all that for a grand entrance. Okay. So he's standing there smiling, saying, "Well, what have we here?"
I don't know, as I pick up a goon and throw him at him. You tell me.
You're throwing a goon at his feet.
You throw it at him?
No,
or
at his
feet. Okay.
At his feet.
So you toss one of the taken out arachnid minion guys at his feet, and he looks down and he says, "Ah, arachnid cabal. Prester's at it after all. He promised me he wouldn't try anything this weekend."
And you believed him.
Well, I'm not saying that I believed him.
Yeah, he's not the only one that a little monkey wrench drops over here, too.
A monkey wrench. Is that supposed to mean something to me, Mr. Rocket?
Oh. I think that would be quite a bit. As for people don't see the visual on the podcast, there, Stan is holding the bomb up.
Like this.
Like, so Lord nods and kind of grins and says, "Impressive work, Mr. Rocket."
"Of course.
You saved my false idol."
"I obviously have missed something."
"Yes, well, actually, I'm quite surprised to see you. The word had it that you had left the building some hours ago."
"Oh, I did.
And
unfortunately, I have returned. Or perhaps fortunately, I'm not entirely too sure, but when my mode of transportation tends to become unstable and explodes, I tend to return."
"I see."
"I keep telling them they shouldn't use hydrogen in those things. But do they listen to me? No. And one of these days..."
"I keep recommending that they should build a lead one."
"Anyway."
"Well, from appearances, it would seem that the four of you have..." appear that the four of you have successfully fended off a nefarious attack by my rivals, the Arachnid Cabal, who were attempting to steal my discovery, which of course is in fact not actually the discovery, but a decoy meant to flesh it... to flesh out? To flesh out? A decoy meant to...
flush out?
Flush out! Those who would try to meddle with my perfect weekend.
Fish, you have done a smashing fine job of it, too.
It seems that I have you to thank for saving my idol that wasn't really an idol, but nevertheless, you did, in fact, take care of the Arachnid Cabal for me, and I appreciate that."
"And a bomb! And a bomb!"
"Yes, and a bomb."
"That's like,
nonchalantly, yes.
There's a bomb involved in this, not just the..."
"Well then, all right. You, clean this mess up. Toss them out into the snow or down the mountain for all I care. Well, gentlemen, since you've been so helpful to me, I would like to extend yet again an invitation to attend tomorrow night's unveiling of the actual discovery that I made in the mountains of Tibet. I'm sure you will find it fascinating and interesting."
"Will costumes be required?"
Oh my! Oh boy! I guess he's going to give you a fate chip in order to ignore that comment and be unruffled by it.
That's a good aspect. I didn't hear that.
I do have an extra aspect. Empty. I'm just
So some of these guys start coming over here and picking up the doofuses. And then including Vandermore. There's
Nathan,
old
should
poor Vandermore.
Should we get any information out of whatever his name is? And as I point to Vandermore, because I can't remember his name, I don't care.
"Oh, that won't be necessary, Captain Shade. Me and my men and I, will take care of that ourselves. Thank you very much."
"Oh, you might find a..."
"I'm sure you will.
A fried spider back there somewhere."
"Fried spider?
Interesting.
You might have. He may have gotten out by now."
Natasha, look at this.
"What do you mean he may have gotten out?
Some sort of new dish of bodies?"
"He was big."
So he starts to go back up the stairs. Because the elevator's still broken. And
and whose fault is that?
And most of these guys are still down. So he turns and he says, "I guess I'll see you all tomorrow night. Thank you again for being so on the spot." And he turns and then he stops. He says, "Just a moment. with a cocky look on his face. Why, in fact, were you on the spot?
Well, I have Johnny on the spot.
My jacket was dirty. I needed to use the laundry.
All I know is I
at
came
2 o'clock
in, from
in the morning.
Well, then it isn't busy with everyone else's stuff.
Perhaps we knew there was a bomb inside. Perhaps we knew that these spider freaks were around. Who really knows?
Well, I have a feeling that you do.
Oh, of course I do. My Zeppelin blows up and I walk on in. Of course I know.
I mean you in the collective sense, you four Centurions. So, that's your impressive story. Stan needed his jacket cleaned at 2 o'clock in the morning, so all four of you came down here to help him clean it.
Well, Parker was trying to kill us. Let's
how could I come down here and help?
Was it,
anyway, if Prester is involved, why shouldn't we investigate?
And Heinrich.
After
all, if he tried to blow up this, who knows what he's going to do to your actual experiment.
Ah, I see. So this is what it is, then. Altruism. Or a very kind and thoughtful repayment on all your parts for my saving your lives yesterday morning on the elevator.
If you say so.
I'm sure.
If you call salt water in the gears repayment, or saving our lives.
Okay, hold on. let's see. So you're giving me that as what?
What's he saying? That, oh, you're doing this as repayment for all of
this stuff.
Yeah. Make it work.
But okay. Well, here's another offer, though. I mean, you can do that's certainly a choice that you have, but let me give you an alternative choice. Since this is, in fact, the first that your characters have heard this, remember that. Mm-hmm. Each of you could get a fate chip if you allow yourselves to take this information and go, huh? And to be, you know, again, impressed and a little bit shaken by the fact that he's... I mean, basically he's saying...
Impressed, but also aware now that
because,
he did...
Because, look, let's be honest. You know that he knows that you didn't do this in repayment for... He's saying this to shake you. So, you get... Each of you gets a fake chip if you're shaken, or you give me one and you're not shaken.
I've got a stiff upper lip. I'm not shaken. And I'm also...
You know, for what it's worth, I mean, you do have a stiff upper lip, and that's fine, but you... You don't have to invoke... You're not invoking your aspect.
Right.
You're just looking for every excuse.
Right.
I'm giving you a fake coin to cancel that out.
Right.
I'm just sort of...
That's cool, but I'm just explaining that you don't have to have... Any given character does not have to have an aspect that could counter...
You just have to pay the fake.
You just have to pay... Exactly.
Right. Well, I understand that, but...
You can play your stiff upper lip and remind us of it. There's no dramatic problem. I don't have a problem with that. I'm just saying, for clarification about the rules, a character doesn't have to invoke an aspect to counter an aspect. You just have to pay the fate chip.
Oh, I'll pay. I don't believe that Serpentor and his Cobra minions saved our lives. I don't give a crap.
I will pay, and what's that?
And of course, yes, and it's not... Paying to negate the compel also, in my mind, gives you the right to say anything snooty or snotty or behave in any way you want. You're like, yeah, okay, who cares? Or whatever.
It's more of, yeah, right. Yeah. You know, you can say,
I was in the trenches. I know about saving lives.
Oh.
Ooh.
And I am
okay, so none of you care. He's like, he's like, oh, okay.
I'm actually going to step forward and say,
I should have stacked into one pile now. And
it doesn't mean he's not going to bring it up again.
Oh, true.
I'm actually going to step forward and address Seth Lord a little closer, and basically say, to be quite honest, sir, the reason we came down here is simple curiosity. We were quite naturally curious about your grand discovery, and we had noticed the doorway earlier this evening, and when we encountered the arachnid cabal, we thought it as the duty of all right-thinking individuals, spiders should be stamped out. And I'm going to invoke Webbread. I'm talking from gentleman to gentleman, and I'm trying to come across as very honest and, you know, I'm basically
now
telling
that.
You, yeah,
nice.
I'm being completely honest.
Yeah,
we wanted to see what was going on, and we met these schmucks and thought we should do something about it. And I'm basically trying to come across as, you know, gentleman to gentleman,
in a proper way.
Nicely done.
This is what we did.
And he is sincerely inclines his head to you and says, "Thank you. Thank you, Sir Nathan."
Not at all.
Well,
where's the detergent while we're at this?
Oh, man. He's like, he's conceding. Okay, where's the detergent? Yeah. He was about to say something kind of cool to you, but the detergent comment got him snooty. And
but then he says, okay, minions, kill them.
Well, then I promise, gentlemen, your curiosity will be satiated tomorrow evening. Dress in any attire you feel appropriate, Captain Jade.
Oh, I'm sure I will. Perhaps as a badger.
Although, outside of the United States, it's generally a given that when we ask for a tie and jacket, we don't mean a leather flake jacket.
Obviously.
You going to take the insult?
Oh, hell no.
Or come back with something snappy?
I'm gonna come back with something.
He's gonna come back with something.
I don't know what though.
You don't have to personally come up with something snappy, as far as I'm concerned. If you've got something, great. If not, you just give me the chip and you.
Well, of course, sir. I'll be in my full formal military outfit. What else would I show up?
Fair enough. It's the sufficient thing to whatever you make it obvious to him that you didn't feel insulted by his insult. So screw him.
Yeah. And do you take me for an idiot?
Yeah. Okay. So unless somebody else has something to say to his back.
Oh, by the way, does anyone have a phone I can use? I need to call this up.
Actually, I'm afraid we've recently discovered that all of the phone lines outside the lodge have been inoperable since the storm began. Sorry about that, Captain.
Maybe I can make it work.
You are welcome to try, Mr. Rocket.
Sure, my superiors would want to know.
See the concierge about it, and he'll give you access to the communications equipment, I suppose. As for myself, I have business to attend to in preparation for tomorrow evening.
Oh, well, then, by all means.
So he goes! Bye-bye, Seth. Okay. Well. Unless anybody has any questions or comments for him. Okay. So, wow, Vandermoor sure just looked really ridiculous.
We're sorry about that.
Yeah, that was all dice, you know, because I Vandermoor was supposed to be relatively impressive, but...
Well, maybe we could say that one of these guys fighting Nathan and York over here was actually Vandermoor,
There was a decoy.
That's not the real Vandermoor!
Anyway, I will be talking to the concierge about getting some access to the phone lines, maybe I can get something set back up.
Okay, so... that's cool. But as we go to this commercial break, the four of you are standing now in the basement. You got a bomb in your hand. The serpent guys have taken the spider guys up the stairs.
Not to Lord, but to one of the serpents as they're moving anymore.
I was about to comment on something.
I really don't need to talk to Lord of this.
Beetle as well.
If they don't talk, give me a you might give me a shot at them. I mean, I talked to Lord about it.
I figure as the scene fades to the commercial, we'll probably be going upstairs and like, so this is what I missed.
Is there anything else that anybody feels is not quite right?
Mm-mm.
Okay.
You mean in character or out of character?
Yeah.
Either.
Well, I would definitely want people to go and look.
Because I'm assuming that if you...
Well, he shows up in his big super villain gear.
I'm assuming that if you knew it, he's just like, oh, yeah, whatever.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's kind of troubling.
Never mind this outfit. Carry on.
It could just be, his ritual... He's a very religious man.
Because he's a freak.
His dossier proves out that he practices a very ancient Egyptian religion.
Of sacrificing people.
That has snakes involved and...
the bloody daggers and screaming.
And jackals. You can't have an ancient religion without jackals.
We are so
We're coming up the stairs with you guys in jackal masks. You're going down.
It was a long fight.
Oh, you missed the snake, guys.
No, I can just imagine the snake guys not cleaning up the crew and going, what, you aren't going to take these guys outside? No, the jackal men take care of that. Oh, we're sorry.
It's 9:15. I just want to say this. You know, I am totally, absolutely cool with doing this forever. I'm loving the heck out of this.
So, just tweaking the characters.
I leave it in your hands as players. You could say, all right, Mick, that's it. Rush to the climax right now and skip all this other crap.
No, I like the foreplay.
Okay, if you guys want to keep playing and developing characters and having fun and doing some investigation before tomorrow night's big shebang, then I'm absolutely very much in support of that. I'm just making it clear that means we will not get done tonight and we will go another week.
I think this helps us understand the system better. Yeah. The more different opportunities we have of utilizing different
parts. I'm glad you feel that way, believe me. I'm just wanting to make the offer.
I want to make it a 6-week one shot.
Okay. So,
make it a 2-week miniseries instead of just a 1 week.
All right. So the four of you then... Okay, so nobody else... Okay, go ahead.
And then I'm walking upstairs, and as it fades to black, I'm like, wasn't there a lady with us? What happened with that?
Yeah. You've lost another lady. And that's...
She disappeared?
She's the only one who dragged us all down here.
Really?
Yeah.
Who was she? I must know.
Know who that was?
No. It was dark.
None of the serpent guys are around.
And
here,
she was dressed up as like...
You're all alone.
As we're walking up, you didn't realize that was Caitlin?
That was Caitlin?
That was Caitlin.
Bit of a shock, eh, what?
Really? Huh. Oh, yeah. As I did remember back to little kiss, you know, blowing the kiss and like... I smile and go, it's good to be back.
As we both sigh, probably everyone sighs on the yell, right?
Incidentally, chaps, I've got a bit of a breakfast date for tomorrow at 10.
What?
It's not involving more of that stuff in that drink, is it?
It's involving the lady who brought me that, and I have a few questions I'd like to ask her. I was wondering if anyone would like to happen to be nearby.
I think that could just happen to happen.
Well, we can ask questions. I love asking questions.
In the meantime, though, I'm going to check with the concierge, see if he can dispose of this for me, and...
He's like, oh my god! He completely freaks out! Dispose of this one, Vaughn? He's just... This is a bomb!
Yes, it is! It was down in your basement.
It's a bomb! You cannot carry it, Ben!
That's why I'm trying to give it to you!
I didn't want the bomb!
Well, I can't keep carrying it around! But this is the point.
Stan, you deal with these things all the time. Let's just dismantle it, and I'm sure that you can put the dynamite to good use.
Probably true. The phone lines. Where do those connect along through here? I hear that they're not working. I may be able to get it fixed for you.
So you want me to give you access to the communications equipment so that you can use your bomb to blow it up even worse?
Okay, look, I will give the bomb to someone else. I don't want to blow anything up.
You really don't want me with this thing. I don't know how to operate it at all.
Here, one moment. Were you not gone on the Zeppelin this morning?
Yes, and did you hear a rather large explosion? Can you explain that? No. Who are you working for, sir? You expressly said that you despise the Zeppelin interfering with our little gathering here this weekend.
No.
Guys,
look.
This poor mousy little man is a puddle of... He's mustered all of the gumption that he can to me, but now he's like, oh, I'm... I'm sorry. I just work here.
Just to further, he didn't have the bomb yet as I put it back in front of him to blow up the Zeppelin. Was it?
But it wasn't this bomb, of course.
While these two start arguing, I'm going to take the concierge aside and basically do my best to smooth things out with my huge rapport. Apparently there's some sort of plot to get a bomb in here. My friend is an electronics expert. We found it and took care of it.
A plot?
With a plot. We're taking care of a plot.
A bomb plot?
We apologize to any listening and anyone else with good taste.
No, somebody, you know, all you gotta, somebody's just gonna feed me a line that says, "I really like that Swiss guy that you were doing with the coach." I was like, "I'm gonna
French
now." I'm just gonna take it so far overboard. Yeah.
Yes, now it's Inspector Clouseau as the host.
I'm sure enough that I walk up and say, "Here, can you take care of this for me?"
Yeah, I wasn't expecting the guy to hand me a bomb.
You're the concierge. Of course you're supposed to take care of these things.
My friends, they are not so adept socially, but I give you my word as a gentleman that the bomb has been taken care of. There will be no more trouble on that front.
This is all very well, and I appreciate this, but I do not want it.
It will be taken care of properly. I promise you that.
But not by me.
No. So, a trained professional.
Do you mind if I ask you a question?
Oh, gosh, yes, because I want to continue to talk in that accent.
I was just curious. Are there any other locations in this area? Shacks, residences, other resorts, so to speak?
No.
Okay.
It is many miles down the mountain before you reach the town. No, I'm starting to sound like Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Before you reach the town.
My accent's drifting. It's like I can't keep it.
Can well, I get then, sir. Some information about where I can check the phone lines, though.
Yes, he will tell you. Okay. I don't have the slightest idea, but somewhere. You know.
I turn to Townsend and go, "It looks like we have a traitor among us."
Dum dum dum.
One.
Well, as far as the Zeppelin goes.
Well,
maybe more than one.
Because how long was
well,
the Zeppelin?
Well, now he has information that might amplify because you don't know about this because
exactly.
It happened when you weren't here. And,
yeah, right.
But he actually questioned the concierge and a bunch of other people. So go ahead and talk about
was
that.
Apparently was it Henrik is filling in for their normal window washer. It was said who's not showing up anymore, and I suspect he's probably dead at his home. But I back up the address for it. We ever want to.
That's cute.
Monkey Wrench is the window washer.
Monkey Wrench was the window washer. That's how he was hiding out so he could send bomb.
Monkey Wrench.
Okay.
So he can have time to do things like set bombs in fake plaster statues.
And Zeppelins. And
maybe Zeppelins and what's that? Rig elevators. Was it?
Find a tiny monkey wrench in any of the wreckage.
There's lots of snow. Not much wreckage.
What's that?
Check the pockets of your flight jacket.
What's it?
Nathan, this is beyond you. I'm quite...
I'm sorry, it's late.
Oh. Perhaps the spider people have thrown you a little bit.
So.
Don't know what the big deal was. I dispatched them quite easily.
I wonder if I can see Proctor dinner now. That's what I want to know.
Prester?
Yeah. I don't care what his name is.
He's trying to get the phones fixed. We've got, just as a kind of a thing, Joey's expressing some interest that I'm seeing in trying to communicate with the Centurions in the outside world to say, hey, I'm not going to show up because my Zeppelin blew up.
Yeah. And also I'm concerned about Smitty.
Smitty. Okay.
She and I go away.
Right. And then Nathan is no doubt concerned on some level about the fact that he's having sympathetic feelings toward the Arachnid Cabal.
Mortal enemy.
And a brunch date with someone who may not have tried
for what it's
to
worth,
kill him, whatever.
You don't have, just to clarify, the feelings aren't there unless you specifically think about them, mm-hmm. or unless you are, in fact, fighting one of them. But it's like right now, just walking around, you're not saying, oh, I actually like Prester. He's a cool guy. No, none of that. It's, but you do have a very, you know, that whole thing about, I have a breakfast date in the morning, when you said that, mm-hmm. you would feel like you actually really are looking forward to
it. I feel like a certain amount of excitement, even though I'm kind of suspicious.
Sure, you're going to question her, but maybe after, maybe you don't want these guys to show up and help you question her until you've had a little time with her to share some breakfast.
Well, she'd probably open up more to just me anyway.
Yeah,
come to think of it.
All right. Good.
No, so I would think that he would never be impressed by or wanting to be with Prester. No. I would think he would be more like,
if necessary,
they don't need him. He's worthless. They're way too good to have someone like Prester. He's an idiot.
Oh, so you're saying that he would have feelings toward the Arachnid Cabal that were good, but that he would still hate Prester?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fine with me. That's fine with me.
He's
the
more
effect
of an idiot than ever.
Really,
if it ever came up, I would spend a fake coin and invoke my nemesis.
Oh, sure.
He's my nemesis.
Well,
I know. Not need each other
like
to
I
do
said,
anything else.
There is never a situation where anyone is forced to do something against their will until you
Except
have no fake points.
Yeah, true. I'm just
I'm just used.
You have to go back to the lodge.
Okay, but that was just for me to get him back into this adventure.
I'm just giving you
we could have him picking his nose trying to get down to a town right now.
Or searching for Smith.
I mean, it's not an ideal situation to force a character to do certain things, but we had to get him back up the lodge.
Or searching for parts of the Zeppelin hoping that the communications still work.
Do what now?
Or searching for parts of the Zeppelin hoping that the communications in the Zeppelin work.
Ah, yes. Well, yes. Story-wise, you could be doing all of that stuff, but it would be a real pain in the ass to be separately dealing with your story.
I realize that. I do like the lines, searching for Smitty.
Searching for Smitty.
So would I need to use alertness first to find the break in the line, or just use engineering for the whole
Captain
thing?
Captain Joey Shane and the mystery of the missing Smitty.
Oh, you can use alertness to just roll alertness. You get into the communications suite room.
This big room.
Hell yeah.
We've got
a lot of faces. Everything here is fine.
60 faces.
Everything here works great, so it's probably a broken line somewhere down along the way. How far down does the line run?
I don't know, 6 or 7 miles down the mountain to, winding.
Perhaps they have some
sled dogs. I might have just been saying something really stupid. I don't know if you can. obviously, this mountain is not 6 miles high, but it's however many miles it is
but
down the mountain
isn't straight
to
down
the town.
Either. I mean,
that's what I was wondering. If it goes straight down, I'm just saying, okay, I'll get in my car and look for the down line.
No. And I don't know that the line would follow the road necessarily. No, maybe the line does go in a more straight line.
At the very least, for ease of like maintenance for situations just like this.
Road, yeah. But like it might cut across the corner.
You can just invoke the.
And I don't know, would it be buried or would it be on a.
In that age, it would probably still be on.
On poles. In mountainous terrain.
Yeah.
Okay, so on poles. Yeah. I mean, it's out there somewhere in the nowhere down the mountain.
And yes, Joey would not say kinky in that one wood chip scene. He would say queer.
Queer! Okay. Oh, my. AGC Chris at allgamesconsidered.blogspot. No.
Well, that's actually quite appropriate.
At gmail.com. I know.
Odd, yes. Unusual, strange.
Let's see.
What other. We have. What do you guys foresee as our decision point here? I mean, I know some things, but I don't want to lead you down a path.
Independent of what he says about the quote unquote plan for this reference, my character will be there almost immediately.
Okay.
Was it,
that's useful.
Was it. No, probably with his food already ordered, you know, so he gets put the plate down, and then brings it to himself a chair. It's like,
yeah, okay. Joey, Captain Shade, where are you going? All right.
Searching for Smitty.
So I guess my question is there anything that any of you guys want or need to do now having dealt with the fact that the communications breakdown is very likely. Somewhere out in the wilderness, in the middle of a giant snowstorm, what are you going to do? Just let it be, or try to go down the mountainside?
Well, there's always something better. Maybe I can find some of the extra gear around here and craft a radio out of it.
Oh, check this guy out.
Yes.
Nice.
That would be engineering?
Sure.
We'll see what I need to make a remote or whatever with that chip here in a second. That's still a 4 without either the reroll or the +2. If it's a +2, then it's a 6.
Yeah, okay.
Cool.
Take a 6. Why would you not want to take a...
Well, yeah. Just...
That's more than superb, man. Okay. You can cobble together a radio. It'll take you some time to see whether or not you can get enough range to... And then, is there going to be somebody at the base of the mountain who's listening? Mm-hmm. But maybe. You know, you would think with storms and wires and stuff like that, that... They would probably have radios up here for this purpose, but I didn't think about that beforehand. So you cobbled together a radio because they didn't have one.
They got a perfectly functioning radio. It's in the cabinet you never got to, so you just made your own before you got there.
Yeah. No. We would have all died of cold if not for Stan Rocket just now. He's making a radio. Let's all remember this.
Yeah. Thanks. Thanks for making me feel so much better.
It's on the fritz.
So, not
on the fritz anymore.
Maybe there was one there. Whatever there happens, was. There
you
is
know
a
what?
Radio now.
You know what? Exactly. I'm going to count that as a declaration. There was a radio. It's missing.
So I built another one.
But you built another one.
Where's the radio? It's in this cabinet here. Where's the radio?
There's probably a little monkey wrench sitting there.
Yeah. There is! There's a monkey wrench sitting on the shelf where the radio's supposed to be.
What is the radio and what is this monkey wrench thing?
Since he's heard what's it. My character is.
Do I need to make another chip for that one, or just
No.
Okay.
Was it
normally to make a declaration? Yes, but you know what? I that was so cool. You keep your fate chip. Cool.
Was it? And so you really need to work on who you bring in for your double check you have the right window washer. So he knows. Was it?
All right. So radio situation is happening. Anything else that anybody wants to do or say or investigate before tomorrow morning's 10 a.m. breakfast with Anna Romani? Romani. No.
I'm gonna get some sleep.
Oh, of course.
Poor little redheaded woman, and nobody cares about where she went. Oh well.
Joey told me, guys.
It's because you guys probably assume.
What are we gonna do about it?
Well, investigate. I don't know.
She's Irish, and she can take care of herself. She's made that very clear. Yeah.
You guys think it's because it's my trope character. I'll bring her in when I need to. Don't worry about it. You don't have to worry about her. But maybe I killed her. Well, you don't know.
Well, then she's dead, and you know about it.
Again, what can we do?
Okay, so write that down as a note. Several audience members very much in love with Caitlin. None of the characters care anything about her.
I'm
joking.
We probably care, but I'm a bit more concerned with establishing the communications with the outside.
So. Oh, yeah, I mean, no, I know, you're worried. That's cool.
One of my friends here has a name with probably someone who's probably a member of the Spider Cabal.
You got enough on your plate. You don't need to worry about the Irish chick.
I get it,
you British. You funny bastard.
I have.
Wow. Actually, I am very well bred, so I might actually be persuaded to make sure the damsel is not in distress.
Well, see, now I feel like I've goaded you into taking action. If that's not naturally what any of you guys were interested in doing. I'm just waiting. I'm killing time until Heim gets back in the chair. Yeah. So I'm saying, out of game.
Yeah. I mean,
I'm interested.
There is a certain amount of knowing that she was in decent shape when she did disappear.
Yeah.
So we figure that she knows what she's doing. So.
Okay. Sure. Well, that's
I'm thinking it's mostly we figure she knows what she's doing. But talking about this, it did occur to me. I am a British gentleman.
Yeah.
My first reaction would be make sure the ladies are safe, even if it appears that they can handle themselves.
Well, she had to have the costume. I mean, that was awesome.
If for no other reason...
What are the odd couple of British gentlemen? Then that...
Every British person knows that someone from Ireland who is left to their own devices is up to some no good.
I went up the stairs.
Hmm?
Yeah, I really must look in on this.
Here.
let's see if Joey... if Mr. Shade wants to join me. He seems quite taken with her.
If he ever gets back from his commercial break.
Hey, where's that GM
Mr. Shade.
Music?
I say, Mr. Shade.
Townsend, is there anything you want to do other than, you're focusing on...
I'm focusing on, no.
Now, did you bring any academia that might help you figure out how to counteract her spell, perhaps, or anything like that? I guess what I'm getting at is, if you brought any books with you or any of the stuff, you could use your academia to make a declaration. You could actually say to me by spending a fate chip, "Oh, I have this book, and this book says that when this kind of special poison, which is sometimes used by spies in the Arachnid Cabal, can be counteracted by this, this, and this." And I would go with that.
What's that?
And then you'd have to get the ingredients the book says. They're probably only available in Ethiopia or something.
Yeah, No, one of those was that time thing. To be another reason to shadow him as probably the wall. Gotta keep a watch on him. And I'd like to ask for a couple more.
Question on our young redheaded friend and make sure she made it out of that scrap all right.
Oh, I'm sure she did.
Still,
but yes, we should check in with.
Just the duty of true gentlemen to look after any ladies present.
Indeed.
All right. So, how are you guys going to go about that?
Do we know? We don't know where our room is, do we?
Yeah, we were invited up. Remember?
Not to her room.
No,
okay. But
well, probably.
I would say that it would be fairly easy for a centurion to find that information out. Or at least the one centurion who hasn't scared the concierge yet.
I don't mind Scary can't even give me their room. I think I can do it.
Yes, that's probably true. Yeah. You could probably do that too.
I need one more thing here. And I promise I'll leave you alone for 15, 20 minutes.
My good man. It occurs to me that one of our lunch companions has gone missing, and we'd just like to make sure that she is, of course, safe and well. I wonder if I might, you might direct me to the room of Miss Caitlin McBride.
Ah, yes. Room 721.
Thank you very much, my good man. Top of the evening to you.
Thank you very much.
That was so ordinary.
I know. And then top of the evening.
So, okay, we've got...
This way, Mr. Shade.
He's building a radio. You're trying to do what now? I'm sorry, Townsend.
What's that?
In the evening after you've had this fight. It's night time. What am I thinking?
Early morning.
It's got to be. All this stuff that we're talking about happens the next morning,
right?
Like 7 or 8 in the morning, because after you guys go upstairs, it's 2 o'clock in the morning. You got to go back to your rooms and
get a little sleep.
Or the concierge won't be awake.
Yeah,
there won't be. You know,
wicked bomb.
Here's a bomb. So anyway,
some of the guests have a bomb.
Of course, I'm sure there are lots of pulp stories out there where even though it was 2 o'clock in the morning when you had the fight 5 minutes ago, when you get to the top of the stairs, there's a bunch of people around and it's the middle of the next day. Who knows? But anyway, the point being, it's the morning of the next day. Right. Tonight, this evening at dinner time, is the big unveiling of whatever Seth Lord's got going. I'm thinking it's really interesting that all of you guys are at this point kind of cool with the idea of letting him take whatever time he needs to set up whatever it is that he's setting up, because that's going to go well. And
excellent. And he has spiders. Why would he get around that?
So you find you go to Caitlin's, which is what did I say, 721.
Yeah. I tap on the door with my cane.
Well, there's no answer.
That is bloody odd. Bit of an early riser, isn't she?
I'm not sure. Miss Caitlin, are you okay?
You have no answer.
Well, I think it would be a bit rude to barge in.
It would be ungentlemanly. I wonder if there's a member of the staff would have a key. I start looking up and down the hallways.
Is there a clean lady?
Why, yes.
Excuse me, ma'am.
Yes?
We were just wondering if the young lady in that room over there has already left.
I do not know.
Well, could you be so kind as to check for us, please? We're just concerned for her welfare. There's been some rather odd goings-on recently.
Are you going to charm her?
Okay, there's the stunt ladies, man.
Yeah.
How exactly does that work again?
Use your rapport.
Okay. Because I don't need to add your stunt.
No, right. Use your rapport and add the benefits of the stunt.
What is the benefits of the stunt?
That's one bad thing. I'm like,
isn't it a +2 to the rapport role involving any kind of a seductive attempt or what have you?
Yeah.
Against her, what is it, empathy? You. What's the defense against rapport?
Resolve, I think.
Oh, is it resolve?
Yeah.
Shit! Because I don't even have it written up. I'll just say 0, and it's 0, so...
Well, if ladies' man is a +2, then I just canceled that out with my roll, so it's a 3.
You're done. Yeah.
+2.
She unlocks the door and goes in and looks around. Well,
we're not actually looking inside the room.
Oh.
We're actually waiting out in the hall.
It's a gentlemanly thing to do.
Yeah.
Oh, you guys.
In just sort of an ironic moment, you turn to see me. I'm in exactly the same pose as Archibald Purser is always in with the cane.
The cleaning lady comes back out and says, "Well, sir, it appears that her clothing and her things are still there, but there's no one in the room."
Oh, okay. Thank you very much. Guess we'll find her on the ground somewhere.
Can I do anything else for you, sir?
No, that's... Actually, you know, there is one thing. We were curious, our dear old friend, we're not too sure what room he's in. You might have heard of him, he's a very dapper fella. Archibald Prester, would you happen to be able to direct us to his room?
Oh, I don't have that information, sir, but the concierge might be able to provide it for you.
Okay, would you happen to have noticed him anywhere on the grounds? He looks, oddly enough right now, quite like this fellow.
Oh, yes, I believe I've seen the gentleman that you're referring to.
I say.
Oh, this morning?
No. Oh, okay. Earlier in the weekend.
out.
I believe it was my shift from yesterday.
Well, thank you very much, man.
Right. Good day, sir.
Good day. Not the way.
Okay.
I didn't have a shave. There's no call to be insulting.
Well, you were.
Neither of you guys has an insatiable curiosity or anything, do you? Can I compel?
We're not going to go and search the room.
Oh, that would have been so fun.
That book and aspects.
Well, I'm saying you don't have any aspects that I can tag.
No.
I can invoke. I've been there. I've been in that room.
I mean, God. Oh.
Ooh. Oh man.
Devastating portion.
That woman over there. I've been there.
I know a guy who knows a guy who's been in a room. In fact, you're him.
All right.
Let's see. If there's something.
No, I don't have anything that would cause me to be a complete lech. Thank you very much.
Okay, I'm just, you know, I'm
even,
just thinking.
Not even back alley hustler?
No, that's gambling.
Okay.
No, that's gambling.
I've got Johnny on the spot. If I was in just the right spot when the door opened to see something weird in there.
Mm. Yeah, I get that. But no, I I'm not, like I said, I'm not.
I mean, I guess I could just do the finely tuned bullshit meter, but that would only be on the maid.
Well.
And
neither of you has what I would consider an aspect that I can compel to make you want to search a room.
No,
and if you don't want to search a room, then you don't have to search a room. If one of you said insatiably curious as an aspect, then I would compel you to search the room.
I think both of us are have a bit too much etiquette to just search her room.
Right, okay.
So, unless we have good reason.
Here's an out-of-character question that might change matters slightly. If the maid said her bed hadn't been slept in, because obviously she hadn't been in there yet, so she wouldn't have made it up. So if it hadn't been slept in, then Caitlin never got back to her room last night.
But that's only if she mentioned it.
Well, it in fact has not been. The bed was made, and yes, the cleaning lady had not gotten to this wing yet.
So if she would have mentioned that.
If she mentioned it.
Look, I'm not trying to.
Yeah, I know. I'm just saying that there's.
Honeypot you into going in there.
No, we can't find a reason.
I'm just saying that I would if I were a player. But then again, it's because she's a redhead from Ireland.
If I were...
For no other reason.
Now see, I was searching a woman's room. Just well, being a lech if I just go in and go, oh, there's her thing. Oh, yes.
Well, man of the world.
Man of the world is actually a contact aspect.
Let me be honest with you about what I think has happened here is that I may not have clearly hooked any one of you into being curious about just exactly what she's up to.
I'm not curious about where she's at.
This is on me. I take this on me.
No,
because I haven't given you guys enough of a desire to find out what the hell's going on with this
one. I would like to say that if I were playing a different character, I would search a room in a heartbeat.
Okay.
But Nathan would not.
I see what
I didn't go along. My character would search
unless he
knew
she was in danger. Yeah.
I'm probably belaboring this way more than is necessary. I'm just.
We're all learning this.
Yeah, well, and I'm just also learning things about my
yeah
I'm just making
Joey's very curious about her, but he's not
okay.
If she doesn't show up
wanting
all day,
to really yeah then I'd man. Want to actually find out what's going on.
I'm sure we're going to try to find her.
All right,
if we don't find her, that's going to be
well then I'd probably push that too hard.
Yeah,
I mean, we've taken too much time to discuss that. Sorry,
Benjamin.
But I'm learning. I'm trying.
We're trying to push the players in a certain direction.
But it's not. So the point is, it's not that you guys don't care. It's that your characters
right
wouldn't
now.
Do it. And that's fine with me.
Right
that's perfectly,
no
that's perfectly fine with me.
At this point, Nathan can't justify it.
Okay.
Yeah. Joey finds her a mystery, but that's it. Okay. Right now.
So, sorry.
No real concern.
You guys, Townsend, Stan, anything?
Well, as soon as I get the radio working, I probably want to let him know.
Okay.
Okay. Do you actually get
it? Apparently.
Yes, he gets the radio working. It takes him about, I don't know, an hour.
No
unless
phone,
you want to make
I
an engineering roll and get a plus 10 again.
Well, I do recall the one roll
that was
I
six,
did
right?
roll. That was a like six.
Now, is it the radio or is it the telegraph system that's up and running?
Radio.
Okay.
Yeah, it's probably a cut in the phone line, so I couldn't get that quite fixed, but I did rig up a radio.
Ah, that's good enough. That's actually
enough
better.
Range, so.
All right, well.
Well, there's always something better.
I'll tune the radio to the proper emergency frequency.
All right. Where are you? In the hotel.
We're in the radio room.
We're in the
whatever that is.
Static.
Okay, I'm still gonna send it out though.
Okay.
I don't expect immediate reason.
Are there some extra wires?
Yeah.
Can we run these up to the lounge?
Sure.
Framework. Use the window framing as an antenna.
Huh.
Sounds like a plan
Stan,
to me, buddy.
You are a genius.
I'll make it work. And I'll be... Well, that's still a 4.
Yep.
That's
not bad at all. No problemo.
That, there, that ought to get it working.
Now you're up in the lounge.
What am I standing?
It's with this hooked up to the this big framework that the windows are in.
Yeah. Yeah.
Normally they'd have breakfast in here, but because today is today, they've got the room cleared so that later on they're going to start setting it up for tonight's unveiling.
I'm sure that they're telling you, can you please disassemble this once you're done?
So you guys walk into the middle of the room, and you take these wires, and you climb up on them, and you get these, and then all of a sudden you get what sounds like a clear signal.
Okay.
And no, I do not technically know how radios at this time are supposed to work.
Basically, I'm just going to give them
the code.
Because I'm sure that there is.
So you're basically saying you're not saying like a special Centurion emergency signal. You're
sending a general emergency signal. Yeah,
to the Air Force.
Whether it be I guess it would be the British Air Force, because the American Air Force wouldn't be able to pick up the signal.
Okay, so you send out a signal.
Yeah.
A coded military frequency. SOS, Morse code thing?
Not an SOS, but basically...
a verbal one?
There's certain codes that you can give that determine...
Is it Morse code, like that kind of thing?
Sort of, yeah.
But it's accomplished with pushing buttons on the radio.
No, the radio. It's actual words.
Oh, it's actual words. Okay.
Letting them know that I'm not going to be able to make the destination.
Just
that,
in specific.
That I am down and I am at the previous location. Okay.
Joey?
Hello?
Joey, it's Smitty. Where are you?
I'm back at
the...
That's
not Angelina Jolie's voice. No. I've got to do better than that.
I don't want you to try and do. I'm back at the lodge. Where are you?
Well, me and a couple of the boys are down in the village at the bottom of the mountain. Ah. You're alive!
Of course I am. I've been worried about you, though.
Oh, we're fine.
Ah, that's good.
The Zeppelin's ruined, of course.
Yes, I'd imagine it would be.
So, the snow's got the roads closed off and the bridges are down. Of course, the phones aren't working. But we sure would like to get up there and get you, and we're going to try.
All right, well, take your time. Don't want to lose anyone. Everyone's all accounted for.
Am I sitting here?
No, we lost a few people. Yeah, sure, why not?
She's down in the village?
Yeah.
Maybe you can have her check this address.
It's the
address of the one guy.
Yeah,
that one guy. Oh, nice.
Oh, okay. We do have a situation up here. There's a fellow missing, and apparently he lives in the village. Wondering if you guys might be able to check it out, since you're barricaded. Well, not barricaded, but pretty much trapped in the village.
Yes, we are. I'd love to have something to do until we can get another Zeppelin here to pick us up.
Well, try not to drink too much. You know how you can be sometimes.
Can I reach you on this frequency?
Not often. We had to rig something up to get the signal this strong.
Okay.
So I'll contact you again when we can, but if you could check out this address...
You've got it, friend.
All right.
Friend?
Captain. Captain.
She's not going to call you Captain.
Yeah, she's not a Captain.
Dude, you have so been in her bed, she's not going to call you Captain. She might call you Loverboy, but...
it's an open channel.
That's why she's not calling you more than Fred.
Oh, boy.
Go, you Cap. Cap Shay.
Well, anyway, we need to get to a cliffhanger.
So.
No, I'm not going to drive us to a cliffhanger. We'll just...
All right, well...
We'll just call it when it feels to, right to call it.
I'll contact you again later on tonight. More information about our status.
Okay.
Over and out.
Over and out, friend. See you later. Okay, there's that. And then you guys pull the radio antenna down and all that stuff.
Well, not the antenna itself, just the connections to the...
connections to... Because the antenna is the framework. All right.
There's some way to get outside. We could run the wires outside the building into somebody's window or something, but that takes a little bit of
work. Well, let's deal with the situation at hand first. Who knows how long this storm will last?
There's probably like lightning rods up there on top of this very room or something. And there's got to be something that the Zeppelin is able to lash itself.
Yeah, and all that has to be able to like ground to something. Mm-hmm. So, but we can find that later. All
right,
we're close to 10.
So now, who's going? You're going to breakfast. Mm-hmm. You are going to breakfast alone, as far as you're concerned. Mm-hmm. But Townsend, are you going with him? Like right there with him, or
no? I suspect I've probably been there for a good. I know it's a He said it was at 10 o'clock, so I've probably been there since...
Quarter till
9:30. Yes.
So, you're they've switched all of the food to an anteroom. Not an anteroom. It's a smaller dining room on the sixth floor directly below the lounge. Okay. So that is where she said she would meet you, right? Not in her room or something.
I don't think it was specified at the time.
Well, but she didn't say, come to my room at 10 o'clock, we'll have brunch. No, okay. So...
I've been there. No. I could have been there.
So, you're in the room, though, right?
Yes.
And he... Okay, and there are some other people there.
Yeah.
And a couple of minutes before 10 o'clock, you're all there, dapper, I assume, in your finery.
Of course.
You're not right there with anybody off somewhere?
So I could see as he comes in, as she comes in, and I can...
Have to menu up.
So you see a pale, mousy, kind of sad, skinny-looking chick... walk in a nice dress, in a nice black dress, but not a, you know, sort of a, not an evening dress.
Yeah.
And you recognize her from the luncheon. You see a gorgeous, voluptuous, sexy woman walk in, and your, you know, gentlemanly loins are all aflutter.
Okay.
And you stand and you pull the seat out for her. And she sits and you sit and the two of you stare at each other and you look at the two of them across the room and you could probably go up and slap him on the back of the head right now and he wouldn't even notice.
It's going to be more take a chair, whatever, and just walk right up to their table with the chair. They're sitting across to one of the sides and just sit, put food down, maybe drink, and
Well, so Anna says, "Oh, my dear Nathan, you didn't tell me you were bringing a guest."
I'm afraid I didn't realize you were. Nathan wouldn't be his tongue tied.
Well, yes, maybe you would.
Oh,
I'm far too well bred. I'm sorry, York. I didn't realize you were planning to have breakfast. I didn't realize you were planning to join us quite so soon.
Hey.
How bad.
Get a little bit annoyed with him and tell him to go away.
Perhaps,
Get a little annoyed with him and tell him to go away.
Perhaps if you, you might come back in a little bit.
Get a little annoyed with him and tell him to go away.
After my lady and I have had a bit of time to ourselves. That's good.
Are you taking these?
Yeah, he's taking them.
I basically say that in sort of a stone tone and then just ignore him completely.
Cool. Ha-ha! And that's where we'll stop.
All right.
You've got a week to decide what you're going to do about it telling you to go away.
By the way, just so you know, and since we're testing out this no secrets thing, what I've decided Nathan's take on this is, I know, or I suspect, that Anna did something to me with the lipstick.
Yeah.
But what I'm going with right now is, I suspect that Prester forced her to do it. So what I need to do is convince her that I can protect her from Prester and get her out of his clutches.
Lovely.
I can't think she'd remember the spider cavode sent to basically deal with him. So, was it...
Okay.
Ironically, earning those two chips gives me absolutely nothing because I'll refresh to 10.
Yeah.
Well, we could keep the chips. Do you guys remember how many chips you had?
No.
That's fine.
Seven.
Oh, don't worry. It was the whole role-playing thing.
Right. So. That's fine. So, there's that.
We probably start with that. Is the start of the
we still didn't get done, but I don't care.
This is fun. The characters are fun.
And you guys can begin already to start re-envisioning some things about your characters. By the way, I read up a thing on the advancement stuff. Max, you asked about that last week.
Yes, I did.
And it's mostly what I said. It's kind of the only thing that they really want to stress is that everybody advances together so that we're all remain peers. Even if in a situation where like only three of you were here for a couple of weeks and we played, we would still all advance together as a group so that we remained peers. It's not, I know it doesn't go along with the whole experience point philosophy of most traditional games.
But a story.
The other thing too is the first thing that it asks you, the first thing that it suggests doing is giving new aspects. And especially you guys choosing aspects that are appropriate to something that you have gained over the past few adventures. Also, new stunts are good ways to do it. And even though, I am going to let you guys do this to a certain degree, practically any time between adventures that you need to. But you'd be able to, like, switch skills You could, if you've used a skill a lot and you want to upgrade it, you can upgrade a skill to a higher level on the pyramid and switch it out with another one or whatever. The pyramid still has to remain intact. And the one thing that it says you should not do, in the book anyway, is you guys are already superb level characters. You have one superb skill. For me to bump it up to a +6, there's not even a word for that, I don't think. But,
what's that?
They say don't do that. So skills will be the one thing that we won't be getting. We won't be getting like new skills necessarily, but you will be able to switch in skills as long as you're willing to take out a couple of the other ones and bump them down.
Was it, I mean, probably a rename was a controversial